Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday night episode of BAMS Radio. I am Thomas the Rock Watts, and before I introduce my esteemed co-panelists, I do want to speak to what happened last week. The short version is Blog Talk Radio got DDoSed. In layman's terms, a DDoS, or directed denial of service, is a hack. To put it in perspective, imagine you're surrounded by 100 people. Each person asks you a question one at a time. You get their questions done. What happens when that 100 people asks you a question all at once and is trying to get your attention? Obviously, you slow down and you get nothing done. That's a lot of what a DDoS is. Everything slows down. We couldn't broadcast, and we had to cancel the show. But we do have a great show for you tonight. We actually have a big 3-hour episode. For now, I am joined by Bama Bird. Bama Bird, how you doing this evening?
Hey, brother, doing great.
And we also have the legend. Legend, how are you?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm just tripping on that AC/DC as we was coming in, one of my favorite groups of all time, rocking it out.
Well, I don't know how much you've been able to listen to the show, but as I've kind of taken over the board, we've kind of gone a little more rock. So, you know, we'll rock it out some. It'll be good stuff. But we have a bunch to talk about tonight, and I'm reluctant to even punch you the softball, legend, but I'm going to just for laughs. Basketball. Big win against Missouri. Yeah. What do you think about that, Bird?
Come on, guys. I'm getting a. By the way, I'm getting a echo in mine real bad. So I don't know if one of you guys has got something turned up on your side, but say I'm listening myself now.
Is it coming from me, Bird?
I'm trying to lock that down. 1 second.
There it is. I think I've got it live on mine as well as the – I think I've got it fixed. Now, you know what, basketball, guys, is it is what it is. We're all excited about Anthony Grant, you know, getting a win over over Missouri, a quality team. A little bit of a surprise, to be honest with you. I didn't think they'd win another game. So I guess that goes to the intestinal fortitude of this team and the fact that they, after watching them play the other night, they just quit. The coaches quit, the team quit, everybody quit. And it certainly wasn't the case against Missouri, so I've got to give them at least some props for that. I'm still of the mind that we should be on short-term watch with Anthony. And I know guys have been coming out, some of the cognoscenti in basketball, some of the ex-coaches, you know, are jumping up and down and saying, oh, no, he needs to be here another year. I've got so many reasons to disagree with that that I can't imagine Alabama in football waiting 5 years with a coach that they're paying $2 million a year for some sort of tangible results. And not making the NIT, certainly not even being considered for the NCAA, it's just a huge slap in the face. Guys, what do you think?
Well,
Legend, go ahead.
I personally agree with you totally, Bird. I think it's a disgrace. I really do. I think, it, as you said, mean, I just think it's totally disgraceful for Alabama basketball to be in such poor shape. I heard somebody compare Anthony Grant to Mike Shula, and I think that's a great, great illustration just for the fact Mike Shula had one 300-pounder when he left Alabama. Of course, Nick Saban has 38 300-pounders now on the roster, and Anthony Grant has not been able to recruit one quality big man in 5 years.
Well, let's take that one step further. It is not just that he hasn't been able to recruit one quality big man. I think he's recruited quality big men. He just can't keep them. And, you know, Kerry and I go round and round about Musa Gay and how terrible Musa was. Well, yeah, he really wasn't very good at Alabama, but he's playing decent ball at the school he's gone to. He's, I think, 5 rebounds a game, 5 points a game, and 3 or 4 blocks a game. 7'2" is not something you replace easily around the goal, and he certainly learned the game from the time that he left Alabama to the school he transferred, St. Bonaventure, or wherever it is that he's playing. You know, I just have seen too much talent walk in the door and then walk out the door without getting graduation. You know, the other Lacey kid, Trevor, it blows my mind how many kids have come into Alabama and then said, you know what, this is not for me, and go on to another career. And it seems like we get shooters out of high school that all of a sudden forget how to shoot, you know, when they get to Alabama. Here, son, let's pour some honey on your hands tonight before the game. Maybe that ball will feel really good and sticky, or I really don't have an answer other than I think that there is something psychologically wrong and intrinsically upside down with this team.
Well, I want to kind of dovetail into something else, because we could bash basketball for the next hour and a half until Heather Thomas comes on to talk about baseball. But there was a question that was brought up locally in Mobile. I don't know if y'all happen to see it, but Bruce Pearl, the former Tennessee coach, currently under a show cause penalty for alleged rule violations, or actually 4 rule violations. They were proven. He admitted it. He's obviously, that show cause penalty is going away, and he's going to be a hot name. But in the interview, one of the things Bruce Pearl said was he wants to go to a place that wants to win championships. And the reporter accurately countered, well, everywhere wants to win. And he would break it down further to say, I want to go to a place that has a commitment to winning. You know, facilities, yada, yada, fan base, yada, yada, yada. One of the radio personalities down in Mobile said that he doesn't believe that the Alabama fan base has that. Basically called the Alabama fan base, when it comes to basketball, fair-weather fans. I personally don't agree with that. I just am fed up with the current regime.
Let's put it this way, and I'm sorry for jumping in on
no,
that.
No, go ahead.
But that raises my dander to the point that I don't know who the personality was that made that comment, but I call bullshit on that. I think we've lived with mediocrity and have supported mediocrity extremely well the past 5 years. And you know what? How long does it take to be far suffering? Well, let's put it this way. If I get poked in the nose every day at the bus stop, how long do I have to turn the other cheek before I turn around and just absolutely paste the son of a bitch that's hitting me in the nose every single day? Well, you know what? To me, 5 days in a row I get hit in the nose, which is the past 5 years, it's time. It's time to hit back, and it's time that, because the fan base has been there. I've been in Coleman Coliseum when the team has been mediocre to okay. And I don't mean a great team. I mean just a mediocre team, but one that maybe, you know, they'll slog through a game and they'll come out with a victory. So I completely take umbrage to fair weather fans. Has this guy ever been to a game in Coleman Coliseum, Rock?
Honestly, I don't know. Let's just call him kind of a muckraker. He was I kind of felt like he was trying to rile up Alabama fans to get to make talk radio. But it just was like one of those things where I heard it and I was like, where are you coming up with this?
Yeah, that's you know what, that years ago, maybe, but I've seen too many full houses with Alabama. If they were playing even a semi-decent team, and Coleman Coliseum fills up and it's got good energy, you know, maybe not great energy, but good energy. And I can think of 2 years when the kid that was the face down there, you know, in the student section, students were all into it and bouncing and having a big time. And, you know, we had a couple of 20 win seasons, went to NIT, but bottom line was to lay this out on the Alabama fans is complete bullshit. I really, you know, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been a season ticket holder for the past 4 years. I chose not to go to any games this year. Now, does that make me a fair weather fan? No. It makes me someone that says, you know what, I'm going to pay my money. I will still support the team, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to show up and basically applaud mediocrity, which is exactly what's happening now. To me, if you go down to Coliseum and you jump up and down and you get all excited over a team that really is terribly underperforming, terribly undercoached, terribly undertalented, you know, you take Lacey out of the mix, and this team may not have won a game this year, guys. Let that sink in. Had he hurt his knee or twisted his ankle and had gone down for, let's say, 8 to 10 days and missed maybe 4 or 5 games, we would not have been in any of those games. And that's not to take anything off of Obasahan. I think the kid is a talent. I think he's scrappy. But is he a major college talent today? No, absolutely not. He's a grade C player that works very hard, and I think has got the raw tools to work himself into more of a decent ball player. You know, I'm going to go and open up the phone lines tonight. I'd like to hear from the chat room too, because I love basketball. I love college basketball. I think it's one of the greatest shows on earth because it's fast. You can watch the coaches versus the NBA. The coaches have an opportunity to really coach in a defensive mode in the college game and change defenses and change the nuances of the game through a defense as well as through, you know, what type of offense they're running. Running a 3-2 drop, 1-3-1 weave. I mean, college is interesting to me because, you know, you can do a full press. You can do a man-to-man. You can do a half-court zone. You can do things that the NBA doesn't have. You know, that our call-in number tonight is 714-510-3707. That gets you directly into the BAMS listen line. You know, it's let's talk some basketball. We'll talk some football after a while and talk some recruiting. But right now, it's no. Except for the $5 million, which is a big buyout, Rock. Legend, I mean, you know, how would you like to get fired and be paid $5 million?
Fire me.
yeah, this is where you say, "Yeah, take me out and shoot me," but that's his contract. His contract states that if he's fired this year, we owe him $5 million. And you know, on the other side of the coin, there is the side of the school of thought that this guy, you know, has won at least 20 games in the previous 4 years and is close to winning 100 games in 5 years at Alabama. I still say his body of work has to come at the end of the season and at the first of the season. And the body of work is you jump out and you play schools that will help get you prepped for the NCAA and for the RPI, to help your RPI.
Let me jump in real quick to talk about the almost 100 wins thing. And I really want to highlight the trend, or at least I feel like what the trend is, particularly over the past 2 years. And I'm not saying that Devontae Pollard is Grant's fault, but I do want to use him as kind of a test case. Because if you remember, on this program, when Pollard committed to Alabama, everyone was like, wow, you know, he's going to be that stretch four that's just such a pain in the ass to defend, yada, yada, yada. And then he farted around and did nothing last year. And then this year, obviously, he's not on the team. Well, as Pollard's fate has kind of gone, so has gone the Alabama basketball program. I would be okay with if he came in and reeled off a 10-win season and the next year had a 12-win season and a 14-win season. If they're playing games tough, and I realize Alabama has had a very tough schedule. They've played really
Come on. We have played – the SEC is the worst the SEC has been.
Talking about non-conference, though.
Okay, I'll take that. They have really played a decent – not tough, but a decent non-conference schedule, so I'll give you that.
That was my point. No, the SEC is a step up from a garbage fire. But the point I wanted to make is I don't see progression with this team. I just don't. And – that's how I measure a football team. You know, no one really brings up Nick Saban's first year where he's 7-6. But, you know, what does everyone say? Oh, he might have lost it. But if you really go back and watch those game tapes, you kind of see the problems that he inherited, but you also see progression. And if you don't see progression from year to year, that to me is a problem. Now, once you get to the point where you're sustaining excellence, that's a whole other can of worms. But Anthony Grant has not had what I consider sustained success in the past couple of years. And I'm sorry, at the point we're at in the past year or two, it is, if not entirely Grant's players, it is the majority Grant's players, it is Grant's system, it is Grant's everything, and I just kind of lay this one at his feet. I'm sorry.
It's mediocre, and I agree with you 100%, Rock. This is where it's up to the Alabama Nation. And that's what kind of kills me about the commentary of the gentleman that said that the Alabama folks are fair weather fans. No, we're not. That is completely erroneous. They've even been, and I watched the games on TV. As much as you can stand, it's like, do I watch walking?
Stop watching. Yeah, I can't. It is so bad. I cannot watch. It makes me so angry. I'm just like, no, I am not going to be upset on my weekend.
Is this a version of Walking Dead on ESPN, or is this a basketball game? I mean, it is so bad that it's slow down. Well, it's slow down basketball. It's slow down, you know, it's not fun. It's not enticing. It's not inviting. It's not creative. And you brought up Devontae Pollard. And Legend and I mentioned this over a year ago when the kid came in. Talk about a misutilization of talent. You know, they wanted him because he had a little bit of size for him to play with his back to the basket. Sorry, guys. This kid is like Magic Johnson. He can handle the ball. Put him out on a wing on a 3-2, put your two biggest guys underneath, and let these guys, and then run a weave, and then run a screen, and let this guy dish to the basketball or dish it to him as he cuts to the basket, and let him make moves on people. He could handle the ball, 6'7", 6'8", with ball handling skills. And what did we do? We posted him up because, he's 6'8", and with his back to the basket. That's when my head explodes, because you take the talent and you mold your team to your talent. Your team is built up of the facets of the skill sets that come to you. You don't try you try to enhance where they maybe lack. You know, okay, this kid can't dribble with his left hand. Fine, while he's in school and while he's learning, you work on that, okay? Get him the ability through practice and different drills to get him to be able to, you know, dribble with his left hand with his head up. It absolutely blows my mind that none of that goes on, that there seems to be a set system. And I wish Anthony was on with us. I wish to heavens I could get Anthony on this program, because I'd say – maybe he'd say, you know what, Bird, you're absolutely full of bird shit, you know, because this is what I was faced with and this is what I had to do. But that's part of the problem, Rock and Legend, is that he is not accessible to the media. He is very, very quiet man. To the point that he seems like he's almost shy. I watched him last year, and I was down on him most of the year, and then toward the end of the year, and we won 20 games or over 20 games, and I was watching us win ugly. And I thought, now this guy can coach. This guy has got the aptitude of coaching young men and knows how to get young men and the talent. You know, because he can recruit. Look at the guys he's brought in. But first thing first, again, and I disagree with his usage of the talent. Second thing is, I'm not sure that the talent then he fits a system around what the talent has. The talent has to fit his system, and it's obvious. It's painfully obvious that it just doesn't click with the majority of the players that come to Alabama.
Well, the key to basketball is Bobby Knight said it one time: the players don't adapt to the coach. The coach has to adapt to the kind of talent he has. He said he realized that when he had Isaiah Thomas, that Isaiah Thomas totally changed his point of view on coaching because he realized he was the kind of player you just put the ball in his hand and let him go. And I totally agree with you. Grant has had, I mean, come on, you've had one of the best point guards in college basketball for 4 years. I mean, there's your quarterback. The point guard is the quarterback on the basketball team. And you got Trevor Relifer for 4 years, and you can't make a serious run? I mean, there's something wrong with that pitcher. And I totally take offense, too, to what y'all was talking about earlier about the fair weather fans. I mean, me and you, I don't know how old Rock is for her, but I know me and you remember the Sweet 16 runs of Wimp Sanders and how on fire the Alabama fan base was on those days. I mean, you put a Bruce Pearl in Coleman Coliseum and you sell that baby out every night, I promise you. Every time we go in there, the excitement would be back. Anthony Grant is dull. He is boring. I have met the man in person. He won't even look at you. He is, this was a colossal mistake. And I was all for Anthony Grant when he came in. But looking back now, this was a huge mistake. I don't care how much the buyout is. Mr. Battle needs to put his stamp on this program. Anthony Grant needs to go.
Well, you know, was it Wimp that came out this week and said, well, you know, he's got these JUCO transfers that are sitting out now that are coming in next year, and he's got this class of signees coming in next year. I want to look at him and say, where have you been the past 5 years? I mean, we've had talent come into this program, guys. That talent has been here. When do the Cognoscenti wake up? And you know, it's actually fun to listen to Bobby Knight as he talks about Alabama basketball, because Bobby, whether you love him or hate him, is so, you know, he's forgotten more about basketball, and no offense to Anthony Grant, than Anthony Grant will ever know. And Bobby is bang on when he calls an Alabama game, and he's not terribly shy about saying, you know, calling out the ills and the warts and the pimples all over the face of this kind of semi-ugly girl that we have down there. Okay. For the BAMS listeners from the chat room, RTR1 has given us the score. Ole Miss 15, Bama 8 with 11:50 left in the first half. So they're already up on us by, you know, two times. And
Alabama has 8 points in
5 minutes.
In almost 10, in over 8 minutes. Yeah. They have a point a minute.
Yeah.
Oh,
you've got guys that coming out of high school, Rock, seem like, I mean, they've got the body of a shooter. They could shoot in high school. I mean, Rodney Cooper, what happened with that guy? You know, he shaved his head, and next thing you know, he couldn't shoot anymore. It's like Samson, you know. So he lost his hair, and he couldn't, you know. Then the next guy, they put out his eyes, and he can't see the basket. I mean, it's biblical. It's a collapse of biblical proportion. So I'm disheartened. I love basketball. I like all Bama sports. You know, if it's wearing crimson, I'm a fan. But when, you know, I take umbrage to the guys who are fair weather fans. No, I think after 5 years that if the fan says, you know, we're not even in the NIT this year, this is your team. Look at all the guys that have walked out the door. We have no depth on the bench. We have no depth in the center. We have no center, actually, now. with Jacobs completely gone. The white kid is doing the best he can, and he's certainly not anywhere near NBA or even playing in Europe talent level. So I mean, we've got a dumpster fire sitting down there, and you know, and then to lose to the two worst teams in the SEC, you know, to get thumped by Auburn is ignominy to me. At that point, Battle should have picked up the phone and said, "Anthony, we got to talk. I don't care what sport it is. You just don't lose to Auburn. This is Alabama.
Well, you just don't lose to a horrifically bad Auburn team. When Alabama lost that, I would have equated it to when if Alabama had lost when Auburn's football team went 3-9. I mean, I just was like, there's no excuse for this. I'm sorry. This team is historically bad.
Did you watch the game? Because that one was televised.
I watched parts of it. But again, I've become so frustrated with Alabama basketball that I can't watch it for very long. I'm sorry. I just can't.
It's not my brand of basketball. And even when they win, it's hard for me to sit through it. And
is it basketball at all?
It's one of those things where you're watching a game, and it, you know, I vividly remember this because I did watch the Alabama-Florida game down in Gainesville a couple of weeks ago just because it was on, and I was like, oh, Alabama's giving them a good game. I'll watch. And then I remember as the second half started, I'm like, I don't think Alabama has a chance. I completely expect the team to do either – be a bunch of dunderheaded idiots and do something insane, or Anthony Grant to do something insane, or a combination of both, and Alabama's going to look like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. Well, come to find out, that's what happened. When I'm thinking that that's going to happen in a game, it loses all its luster to me, and I'm just kind of like, meh, I'll go do something else. And that's exactly how I feel about the program.
And I'm going to ask an inflammatory question, and you know, I don't know that it bears an answer, but I think it's something that should be considered. Is because of Alabama's lack of love from and with the NCAA, do you think that that affects Alabama's ability to actively and effectively recruit top talent? Because I look at other schools around the country that don't have near the facilities, near the overall excellence in other programs that Alabama has, yet are able to field top 20 basketball teams. And I keep pointing back to Memphis. Louisville, I can't really point to anymore. At one time, Louisville was a school like that, that all they had was their basketball program. But Louisville's football program has had, you know, some high points over the past few years. But, you know, why is it that we seem to have just a real problem? Is it because the NCAA has come down so hard on us that they won't cut any corners, shave any I's, dot it. You know, it's all got to be – the I's have got to be dotted. The T's have got to be crossed.
Well, okay. I don't
think so. Thanks
go
so
ahead, Legend. I'm sorry.
I just think it's a matter of getting the right coach. I mean, the best talent year in and year out is leaving the state of Alabama, going elsewhere. It's just a matter of getting – I mean, you don't need the thing about basketball – I coached basketball before. I'm sure some of y'all have. You don't have to have but a few good players and a few good role players to make a great team. And I just think Alabama's a sleeping giant in basketball. I really do. I've thought that for years. I mean, there was one time in this state that we had Eric Bledsoe, DeMarcus Cousins, Stanley Robinson. I mean, we had a starting five in high school in the state of Alabama that could have won a national championship if you had the right coach to pull them in. Of course, we had that golf cart and dummy Mark Godfrey at the time, who was more interested in the golf course than he was the basketball court.
If you bring in the right man,
you can win.
He liked the 19th hole pretty well, too. From the chat
room.
That's
the line of the night right there.
From the chat room, thank you, RTR1. It's Ole Miss 21, Bama 13. Still an 8-point lead by Ole Miss with 9:36 left in the first half. So Bama scored a few more points, but they're still down by 8.
Whoop-de-doo. I just want to weigh in on the NCAA thing. I think the NCAA is at a horrifically weak point. I feel like you could run amok with violations, and the NCAA won't do anything about it. Enforcement has lost half of its staff to either people departing to work in compliance or just getting run out of town because they do something corrupt. You look at the real high-profile cases that the NCAA has dealt with recently. Miami, botch job. Oregon, slap on the wrist when they had a fairly solid, I think they had a pretty solid case in Oregon, slap on the wrist. Help me out, other cases. The only case where they've done anything big is Penn State, which that pissed a ton of people off because it was completely outside of the
right.
General legislative assembly that is the Collegiate Athletics Association, and USC. Those are the only two where there's been any kind of issue. So I don't buy the NCAA stopping Alabama. I completely agree with Legend. You need the right coach. And I would actually cite Nick Saban. Alabama, football, blue blood of football. Obvious, everyone would agree to that, even if you don't like Alabama. Well, Nick Saban walked into a great situation, and he made the most of it. Now, do I think Alabama basketball is as blue-blooded as football? Hell no. But it's not a bad program. Quick, before Anthony Grant came, and he still won 100 games, who'd won the second most SEC titles in the SEC behind Kentucky?
Alabama.
I mean, so there's history there. Is it Kansas? Is it Duke? Is it Kentucky? Is it UNC history? Hell no. But so what? In the era of parity where you have mid-majors like Wichita State competing at a Final Four level, you don't need a team of one-and-dones to compete.
Well, you can even take a team of one-and-dones and compete.
I.e.
Kentucky, i.e. Memphis, i.e. I can look around the country at these schools that have got kids that come in, play for a year, put the ring on their hand, and then go play in the NBA. And then they reload. They're like Saban. They don't rebuild, retool. They just reload the gun, and there they are the next year, competitive as always. Sometimes maybe not Final Four, but they're absolutely competitive.
If you ask me my ideal basketball program, it's something like Michigan State and what Tom Izzo has. Tom Izzo doesn't bring in the five-star guys. And is that a knock on him? Sure. And then you realize that every player on his team over the past, 15 years has competed in at least one Final Four. And it's like, okay, I'm done. Do it. Recruit whatever the hell you want. I don't care. You are getting something out of these kids that either the talent evaluators in high school missed or something. I don't know what it is. I am not paid to know what it is, but you are putting results on the court. And that would be the kind of program that I'd be interested in, because the one-and-done thing, I don't like it, and I think it's going to get changed in 2016. I believe the new NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, actually said he wants to see two-and-done, which is going to fundamentally alter everything. But I would like for an Izzo-like program that you can take the three-star guys that might not go one and done and then coach them up and put a competitive product out there. You don't have to win all the time, but, a Sweet 16, an Elite 8, every year or two, year three even. I'm completely okay with that for now.
What you're looking at is teams, and listen to what you're saying, and I agree wholeheartedly. Your teams like Butler that are predominantly white, but that play together for 4 years. Teams like
right.
BYU, all white, they play together for 4 to 5 years. Teams like, I'll come up with some others, but what you're seeing is these are not one and done, superstar kids. This is not superstar quality kids. These kids come in, learn a system, learn a team, and then next thing you know, they're competitive, and they're competitive deep into the tournament. The last thing you want to do is see a team of kids that's played together for 5 years. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Well, that's what George Mason did 5 or 6 years ago. They had 10 people on their team. 7 of them were fourth-year seniors.
Right.
Or fifth-year seniors, whatever. It was ridiculous.
So you're absolutely right. But I don't know. I'm frustrated with basketball. And I can't – until a coaching change happens, I can't watch it. I'm sorry.
By the way, Mississippi 28, Alabama 15 at the moment.
28-15. So it's
good God.
They're up by 13 now. Okay.
That's miserable.
And Ole Miss is not a good team. They've got that one hot shot.
Dude, my high school team is better than Alabama. Come on now.
I shake my head because I really don't get it. I mean, it painful to watch and painful to try to keep up with and painful to cheer for and painful to be excited about. So it's
well. Let
I'm
me
with,
ask y'all a question. And Rock, you go first, and Bird, you hit it. And in your honest opinion, considering everything, the buyout, the fans, will Anthony Grant be back for one more season?
Yes.
I think he will. I wish he wouldn't. I think that the excuse is going to be the buyout, and I realize this is going to sound completely ridiculous, but at the end of the day, for as much money as the Alabama athletic program brings in due to Nick Saban's football powerhouse, $5 million really isn't that much, so I don't think it's a very good excuse. But I think he's going to be around. I think Bill Battle supports him. And we are going to be having this conversation on February 26th, 2015, all over again, and it's going to suck just as much.
All I can say is that it may not suck as much as if we've won the 16th national championship on the football side.
True.
And they're all of a sudden, you know, oh, well, see, you're a fair weather fan. And it's like, no, I just like to win. And I like not just winning, I like to see competitive sports, sports that it looks like the team gives a rat's you know what. And in the case of Alabama basketball, and I'm probably being very unfair to the kids, but I just don't see the fire in their belly. And I don't see the floor leader where they come out and all of a sudden one of them steps up in the middle of the huddle and grabs the rest of them by the jock strap, yanks it up real tight, and says, okay, lace them up tight because we're gonna pour it on for the next 4 minutes. I just don't see that happening. I don't see explosiveness. I don't see passion. You know, I'm trying to come up with other epithets that would kind of determine this team. And you know, I really apologize to the team members because they go out and they bust their tail, and they're doing what their coach asks them to do. But it's just not enough. It's just not enough. And I know they've got talent. I mean, we've scouted him coming out of high school, and I'm going, well, yeah, I'm excited about him. Oh, yeah, he's coming to Alabama. That's terrific. And then they get here, and it becomes the, you know, the big rock of, not Gibraltar, but the rock of Jell-O. You know, it's like, okay, let's watch it quiver and melt. Ugh.
Oh, well. I'm not sure we have anything left on this topic unless you're desperate.
No, it just
I'm ready
someone...
for the bottle of Pepto-Bismol at this point.
Oh, man. Well, why don't we take a quick break? We've been going for about 40 minutes strong. And when we come back, heck, we've got 50 minutes until Heather calls in to talk about baseball. You want to talk some NFL Combine? That'll be kind of fun.
Well, absolutely, the Combine. Sounds good. I mean, and to remember to remind our listeners, we do have call in night tonight. Give us a call at 714-510-3707 about anything about Alabama. We know you can use those digits. It's an easy thing to do, and we'd love to hear from you. So we're going to break. You are listening to BAMS Radio.
Get ready for a touchdown of savings that will make you want to do your own end zone dance. With Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Unlike the chain furniture stores, Atlantic Bedding and Furniture gives the Bama fan a choice in fine furniture at super low prices. We have over 30,000 items always in stock. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture will have exactly what you need for your rec room, man cave, or however you wish to celebrate that latest Bama victory. Our selection includes Simmons, Serta, Broyhill, and other name brands at a fraction of what other chain stores charge. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture is close by in Pelham, Alabama on Highway 31. Come see us or check out our website at www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com. www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, the place to shop for great furniture deals with financing available.
Back on another Wednesday edition of BAMS Radio. That break was a little bit longer because, well, I'll be honest, both Bird and I were dancing in our chairs to YMCA.
Come on, man. You just outed me.
Well, sorry. If I go down, I'm taking you with me.
I'm sitting here. It's our homage to Michael Sams and jumping around. But that's okay. That's all right.
Ouch.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Hey, this ain't no lie, Bird. I could see Michael Sams coming on the football field in introductions when I saw him.
Oh, man. Well, before the break, we said we were going to transition from basketball, which, if you missed it, was kind of a 40-minute complaint about Anthony Grant Fest. So if you want to feel the anger and vent a little of your own, go back and catch it on the podcast. That'll be up at the end of the show. We're going to transition to a little NFL Combine. Again, I'll just preface this for fans that don't know the NFL Combine. It's basically the second big job interview opportunity for prospects in the NFL, the first really being the Senior Bowl. Bunch of Alabama players participated in varying levels. Bunch of Alabama players are still rehabbing injuries from the season. One injury that has caught my eye and is very unfortunate is the problem with Cyrus Kwanjo. One of the things the Combine does is basically you go in front of every team's medical staff and you have a physical. And this isn't your, go pee in a cup, we'll look at you from behind bulletproof glass. This is, major physical. We're going to look at everything you've ever had done to you down to the most minute detail. Well, in some physicals, Cyrus Kwanjo unfortunately failed, stemming from a knee problem. basically arthritis in his knee. You know, Bird, have you heard of Legend? Have you heard about that? And what do you think?
I have, and I'll jump in front of Legend. I've absolutely heard this from two or three different sources that he has got. I have not heard there was arthritis, but that he's had major knee problems, and it partially explains why speed rushers throughout the year would kick his ass, quite frankly. And that's why I was scratching my head when he jumped to the NFL to say, yeah, I'm going to forego my season and go ahead and jump out and go early. I thought, why? You weren't that good this year. I mean, you were grade C, maybe C plus. But if he's got limited playing days because of a degenerative problem with an arthritic knee, then I will certainly let him off the hook. But it's coming out now. I mean, he definitely has got a bad wheel.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing, Bird. And of course, his 40 time was horrible. You got problems with your knee, so you're really looking that your draft stock has been hurt dramatically. I've seen one mock draft today that had dropped him all the way to the middle of the second round. And you're talking about a player who initially, when he came to Alabama, many thought he would be a top five pick in the NFL. And even Mel Kiper had him going to Miami at 19 and a couple weeks ago. But after the combine, I mean, here's a player now who's looking at not even being drafted in the first round. I think he made a mistake by coming out. I think Jeffrey Pagan made a mistake. He should have stayed another year. And I think Benny should have stayed another year at the University of Alabama. I think these are three players that kind of missed the boat and should have came back and proven themselves for one more year at the capstone.
I'm actually answering the chat room, Rock. So
no, it's fine. No, I some of the – Nick Saban even said that, you know, in Pagan's case and – Sinceri's case should have come back. Like they feel like Nick Saban felt like both of those players made a bad business decision. Cyrus Quanjo's case is interesting, I think, because he could still slide into the first round, because all it takes is for one team to fall in love with him and pass that physical. I don't know what that team could be. I think the Ravens are kind of interesting. Maybe a spot there. I don't really know. There's so many offensive tackles in this group that he was probably going to fall anyway, particularly with the unfortunate numbers he put up at the combine. But it remains to be seen. One of the crazy interesting things about the next month and a half or two, however until the NFL draft gets here, people are going to raise, people are going to fall, then they're going to rise up again, then they're going to fall again. That's just kind of the cycle of things with Quanjo. I will say that Clinton Dix, we haven't really brought him up yet. I think he had a great, great combine. He was one of the fastest safeties, and what really makes him set like a cut above most other safeties is he's very fluid. He doesn't get caught up coming back and forth, you know, trying to change directions. It's very fluid, and that's a big deal in today's NFL. So I think he made himself some money, but the ones that didn't compete, you know, C.J. Mosley still rehabbing, for example. A.J. McCarron decided not to throw, et cetera, et cetera. The folks that didn't do everything, that makes pro day even more important. And it remains to be seen. I wish the best to Alabama. I've still seen three Alabama players in the top 50, sometimes three in the first round in some mock drafts. But at this point, I'm waiting to see as more stuff comes out, as these kids get individual workouts from various franchises, which is pretty much the next step, save pro day.
Well, let's jump and let's talk about Adrian Hubbard, because I think he played in the Senior Bowl, correct?
Correct.
and your report on BAMS was that there was some consternation over attitude issues with Adrian from some of the commentary he made down there, or did I just dream that?
No, there was something about that. And then actually Nolan Naraki, I think that was who had said it, he always does this, like, kids that have weird attitude issue problem thing.
Yeah, that's what I was leading to.
Yeah, he said that too. And Naraki gets blasted pretty bad for stuff like that. He said the same thing about Cam Newton a couple of years ago, and it's been proven incorrect. But a lot of what he says is stuff that comes from scouts, or a scout that's a friend with his position coach, or a friend with something, and they just ask his opinion and they talk about it. I don't feel like Naraki makes this stuff up. It's too completely out there to just be like, I'm going to pull something out of my rear end. There has to be some factual basis to it.
There's smoke, there's fire, because, again, there's something you reported on about from the Senior Bowl, and then all of a sudden out of the combine, you're hearing kind of the same thing from, and I believe Naraki is the right pronunciation of the guy's name. And you know, I wanted to pose to you guys, is he full of beans, or is there something there? And is it possible that that kind of points back to a potential core of dissension that may have been on the Alabama team that showed up at the end of the year?
Well, you know, A.J. McCarron, he also came out and made a few statements at the combine and pointed fingers at the younger players on the football team, saying they weren't going to class, they was upset about playing time, and this caused a big rift in the locker room, and kind of pointed towards that as the reason why Alabama didn't win the third straight national championship. I will say this about Adrian Hubbard. I thought he vastly underachieved at Alabama for
yes.
his size, for his talent.
Yes.
Here's a guy
and he's
who's put in everything.
Legend, it looks like he's putting up good numbers at the combine. I mean, it looks like he's doing what he needs to do at the combine, but it certainly does not accrue to what we saw on the field at Alabama. Rock, what do you got?
Well, I just want to touch on this A.J. McCarron thing, and I think Kevin Norwood said a lot of the same as well about the whole the younger players created a rift in the locker room because they missed class, blah, 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 blah. And I simply, when I read that, I'm like, really? No, fine. Great. That might have happened. There is no reason to be saying that other than sour grapes to me. That's just how I feel. You know, keep it in-house, and if you could ask, just be like, you know, it didn't work out. These kids are trained to know how to obfuscate away a question. Just be like, answer without answering.
What was that word again? Obfuscate?
Yes.
That will be the Auburn
word
of the
day.
let's spell that for the Auburn people that are listening, because I think that they don't understand it, and that's obfuscate. Auburn.
Yes, obfuscate. Render obscure, unclear, or unintelligible is the official definition.
Yeah, I didn't want you to actually give them the definition. I wanted them to have to run to the Funkadactyl and pull it up. But
well, you know, I'm a giver. What can I say? But no. I cannot stand that attitude. You know, Alabama is one team. One team, period. You might be 85 guys, but the best thing about a team is it's greater than the sum of its parts. And when even the people that have left are saying stuff like that, that speaks to a totally different issue than a problem with the younger kids. And I'm just like, dude, shut up! What are you... You're still setting an example for the team you just left. So why are you doing this except to try and make yourself better to freaking Mike Mayock and Matt Millen? They should give exactly two shits what those two guys think. They are not auditioning for them because they are not one of the 32 GMs in the NFL. They are not. Matt Millen ruined the Lions, and Mike Mayock, as good as he might be or as knowledgeable as he might be, does not select them. So what does it matter? I cannot stand that attitude, and it really, really, it's pissed me off for a week now, and I just,
It is really not – it's knocked A.J. McCarron down a couple more pegs in my eyes after the Senior Bowl thing. And now Kevin Norwood, who I held in very high esteem, to say the same thing, is just like, dude.
Well
– it just drives me nuts. I'm sorry. Rant off. I'm off my soapbox.
It's – but I think you're touching on an extremely valid point and something that's a little bit troublesome, and it's something that all of us – in the Bama Nation should pay strong attention to, and is this a problem with Saban? Did this team kind of get out of control under Saban, letting too much of the power of the being the offensive general, so to speak, and the team leader fall on AJ's shoulders, and then have him alienate a major portion of the team, and then not rein him in, and then all of a sudden you've got a division in the team.
Well,
no. did I just pee on Jesus' sandals just then?
Well, I think they even brought this up on Feinbaum that the possible problem with the University of Alabama football team is we're bringing in so many great players now with so many egos that there's just not enough footballs to go around, and it may be causing a problem within itself because of its greatness. And it's possible, but I'm along the same line that Rock is banging on, and I love the passion that Rock just brought. It's a matter of you should have some team leaders. You should have some seniors to tell some freshmen to shut the hell up, to sit down and wait your turn. I mean, you got to have leadership, and I want 25 five-star players every year. But, I mean, it is a possible something to look at that, hey, look at your running back situation. D-Hart's going, I'm pretty sure it was, because he wasn't getting no playing time. Now you got Tenpenny, you got Henry, you got Yeldon. I mean, you got all these great players, but everybody can't get on the field. And, I mean, it's going to have to be addressed that when you get there, just because you're Derrick Henry don't mean that you're going to start. So
Until you start running, face-planting everybody in front of you, and then all of a sudden Doug Nussmeier be damned, we're going to play this kid, you know.
Well, I mean, I want to go back a little bit. I think what Norwood and McCarron is saying, I think there were some issues in the freshman class. I think what they're saying isn't wrong. But I also, putting the shoe on the other foot, I think there was some trouble with the senior class, either some complacency or some something. I don't know what it is. It might have been some kind of cultural change that no one really knows about. But my central point, the reason I'm so pissed with McCarron and Norwood for saying what they said, is I think there's plenty enough blame to go around for those two unfortunate defeats at the end of the year. And some of it was just unfortunate, you know, a bad break. You know, how often do you have a 109-yard field goal return? Exactly. But that doesn't change the fact that I think there were some issues, and I think the only way to really move ahead in life, and this is in a much bigger sense than just the football field, is you have to accept responsibility for your part in it. I think the freshmen had trouble. I think the seniors had trouble. Am I interested in, oh, someone else was more to blame than someone else? Hell no. I don't have time for that crap. Everyone made a mistake. Own it. Say how you could fix it. Move on. That's, you know, to me, that is the sign of a mature individual and somebody that will succeed, whether it had been Derrick Henry saying that after the Sugar Bowl or A.J. McCarron saying that to Dan Patrick 3 weeks ago. That's what I wanted to see, and I didn't, and I'm frustrated with both sides of the equation, if you ask me.
Well, and again, I appreciate your passion. I am very proud, though, of the display that Norwood's put on at the Combine. I think that he's helped himself in regard to, I really think his draft stock has gone up due to posting some very good Combine numbers and probably interviewing well. And I think he's the kind of kid that will hook up sooner than later in the draft. So, by the way, 43-28 at halftime, Ole Miss is beating us by 15 points as 43 Ole Miss, 28 for Alabama in the Alabama basketball game.
Am I wrong for saying this? I hope we get beat by 40 tonight.
No. One of those fairweather fans, but I hope people's heads start blowing up. My blew up after the Auburn game, and I haven't chosen to dip back in and drink deeply from the hyssop of vinegar that they're serving out of Coleman Coliseum.
Is it wrong to pull for your team to lose in sports?
Yes.
Folks just get so mad at me because as a rabid Colts fan all the way back to the Baltimore days, I would pull for the Colts to lose to get a better draft pick in the draft. And people would get so mad at me, but I'd be like, what's the difference between 7-9 and 1-15? I'd rather have the first pick than have the 15th pick. And right now, I'd rather have a new coach than to have another Alabama win.
I'm with you, but I don't think that the numbers are going to make any difference, Legend, as far as whether they lose by 1 point or 40 points, that they have got their agenda in place, meaning Bill Battle has his agenda in place. I may be completely wrong. This may be the bird up here chirping from the branch with zero intel, but I get the impression from hearing, again, some of the ex-coaches that are speaking at the lunches around town, that this guy's at least through next year. They're gonna let him bring these recruits in. Man, I want to sit down with that coach and say, but what did he do with these recruits? This isn't a second year coach. This is a fifth year coach. I mean, how much grace do you give a guy? You know, well, you're Fairweather fans. And that's when it's like, no, I'm not a Fairweather fan, and you can kiss my big red butt. But anyway.
Well, I tell you, I think a Fairweather fan wouldn't care. I think that the Alabama fans have proven they're not Fairweather fans because of how much they do care and how much they do want to change. If we was Fairweather fans, we would say, it don't matter. Give them another year. What's it matter? But that's not the voice of the Alabama fans. I hear it from Bama Bird. I hear it from everybody that's chiming in. They want to change. Fairweather fans don't care. Passionate fans care, and we care.
I smelled a fire last year, and I don't know how much of BAMS you listened to last year, but I had negative concerns about the Alabama basketball team throughout most of last year, and toward the end of the year, I quelled that. And, you know, said, well, okay, let's see what happens. And, you know, next year is a new year. And then, and if anything, they went backward, you know, because I agreed with them trying to strap on a tougher schedule, you know, for the RPI, but that blew up in their face. I mean, this was a team that was not ready to step up and play the Wichita States and the Gonzagas and schools that they wanted to help build their RPI. That may have been okay last year, but not this year's team. This year's team just does not have the talent and has become less talented as the season has gone on. So anyway, well, you know what? Let's remind people that they can call in here, that we do have a call-in show at 714-510-3707. All about Bama, Bama fans by BAMS Radio. And Rock, why don't you take us to break, and we'll see if Kerry Clark's out there floating around somewhere.
Well, actually, Kerry is just with us for the half. I kind of want to just I don't want to pour salt on the wound, but 15 points down, Kerry. What is happening Bama basketball right now?
Well, yeah, what are you seeing?
Well, true freshman Shannon Hale has 17 points, and the rest of the team hasn't done squat. Relaford is way off on his shots. Cooper's shooting his normal bricks. Levi has gotten did not start despite scoring 33 the other night. He came off the bench. He does have 4 points, including a dunk, but his threes aren't falling. Jimmy Taylor, once again, is in foul trouble. Former walk-on who's on a one-year scholarship, Dakota Slaughter, came in the middle of the first half, if that tells you anything, regarding
Gary
the foul trouble.
Let me ask Gary this right quick.
Go ahead.
This Shannon Hale kid, I've seen some flashes of brilliance from him this year. What's your take on him?
Great shooter, very confident kid, needs to play a little harder on defense and needs to rebound a little harder. He doesn't get the rebounds you'd expect from a 6'8", 220 kid just yet, but he does show some signs of getting better in that department. But I tell you what, his shooting stroke is unquestioned.
Well, that's one encouraging sign for the future, that a freshman has 17 points at the half.
If Taylor could stay out of foul trouble, he'd have a bunch more blocks. Taylor can rebound and block pretty good. He's just not much of a scorer just yet. But if they develop him, he'll be another big contributor next year, Jimmy Taylor I'm talking about. Rhett looks lost again tonight as usual. It's basically the typical road effort.
You sound so excited.
Yeah, well. I'll be excited in a couple of weeks when it's over and I can move on to watching stuff I like softball.
I heard that. Let me throw one more question at him, Bird.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about these guys that are coming in next year that's supposed to be the reason why Grant's going to be here. Who's coming in next year that's going to excite the Alabama fan base?
Well, you got point guard Justin Coleman out of Winona, who's only about 5'8", but he's a scrappy little kid that can shoot from anywhere. If you could imagine Enos Watley being 5'8 instead of 6'2", that's Justin Coleman. You have a shooting guard coming in from Georgia, a 6'3 kid named Devin Mitchell, who can fill it up from anywhere inside 30 feet. Just a beautiful stroke and athletic enough to play defense. And then you have a raging Caucasian from Albertville, Alabama, named Riley Norris, who's about 6'6 and a half, 6'7. He also is a great shooter and a fairly decent rebounder and actually a pretty good dunker. I don't know how he'll translate on defense in the SEC. That's something we'll have to find out, but Riley can definitely shoot the ball. Then you have two transfers sitting out, legend. Point guard Ricky Tarrant, originally from Pleasant Grove, spent his first 2 years at Tulane. He's more of a classic point guard, but he's a decent shooter, not a great shooter, but he's better than Algie Key, but he's a decent shooter. Very good dribbler, very good passer, decent defensive player. And then you have a 6'9 kid by the name of Michael Kessens. He's a foreign kid that played 1 year at Texas Pan American, I believe, but he's sitting out as a transfer. He can shoot the three. He can post up inside. He can block shots and get rebounds. He's at 6'9", only about 220, 225. Needs to another year in the weight room, and I think he'll be able to help him in the post. But he also likes to run around and shoot outside a lot. A guy I'd compare him to, if you've seen Ole Miss play at all, would be Anthony Perez. He's a 6'9 sophomore for them. But he's a good player. They say at times in practice he's like Robert Horry, and at other times he's just a normal player. But he's a shot blocker and a good shooter and a good post-up player. So they actually have five new guys coming in next year to go with what they have coming back. But only time will tell how many people on the current roster will actually be back next year.
Well, that was going to be my point. I mean, you can name all those names, Kerry, but that's become like a Ferris wheel of, okay, whenever the car stops in front of me the next time, I'm not sure who's going to be in it.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just giving you a scouting report of the guys we haven't seen yet.
You're right. But again, your point that who knows which of those will actually make it to the hardwood by the time it's time to lace up the crimson laces. And that seems to be fairly endemic with this Alabama team.
Well, those are new guys, so they don't have a reason to go anywhere yet.
Not yet.
The question is, the ones on the team now, how many of them will be back on the hardwood next year?
Well,
and I don't know that answer yet.
That's.
I got my doubts about Carl Engstrom and Nick Jacobs for sure. The other ones I don't know yet.
What's news on Engstrom? Just out of curiosity.
Well, he's a senior.
Okay.
He's a junior basketball wise, but he's a senior in school because he redshirted due to his injury last year.
Right.
And he can get his degree and go play pro ball in Sweden if he so desires. And a lot of people think that he may go home and do that instead of using his fifth year that he has coming to him if he wants it. I don't really know anybody that thinks he's planning to be back next year.
Hmm.
Get his degree and get out of here. You know, he's homesick. Let him go. I don't blame him. It's not like he's improving. We thought he'd improve some last year, but this year he's back to about as good as he was when he was a sophomore.
What are you hearing about this leave of absence for Nick Jacobs? Is there any kind of insider stuff you can give us on this? Because I have to say, it caught me completely by surprise.
I don't know the entire story, but I've been told, Thomas, that part of it is very poor class attendance on a repeated basis, despite multiple warnings. I don't know if that's the whole thing. It could be that there's some attitude situations. I don't know. But I've told it that class attendance has got a lot to do with it.
Wouldn't y'all agree the man should have been on the court the whole year, though, considering the team?
Jacobs.
No, Nick Jacobs.
Well, the next time he guards anybody, it'll be his time in the post. If he scores 10, he's going to give up 20. So I don't. That has a lot to do with him not playing as much.
He doesn't put any effort in his defense.
He's never been in full shape ever. He lost some weight, but he's still not in much shape. He can't play more than about 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
He is what he is. There are nights when he's very good inside. Like the last time when they beat Ole Miss, he was the only reason that they beat Ole Miss that night. Without him, they lose that game. Similar to the fact that without Randolph, they lose the Missouri game. But at the same time, he doesn't do it every night. I mean, he's a guy that will give you, 18 points one night and 4 the next in the same amount of minutes. And he's just never been known for consistency at all, It's unfortunate, But I just don't know what his future is in Tuscaloosa or how bad he even wants to be there next year. If I were guessing, I'd guess he would not be there next year. No, they're actively shopping for late-period signees in junior college and high school at the 6'8 or above level. I do know that for a fact.
Well, looks like we've got Grant back next year, and that's the way it is.
That's not a done deal.
That's not a done deal?
No. That is not a done deal yet. I thought it was, but I've been told that it's still up for debate at the end of the season.
Just out of curiosity, I mean, when you say it's up for debate, what would be the criterion that would move the university to go ahead and make a decision and say, Anthony, here's a settlement check. We're not going to give you 5. We'll give you 3.5 and see you later. I would hope they won't wait till, after the NCAA tournament. They wait till, we get our first loss in the SEC tournament and then move on.
When you say criterion, you mean –
What would
propel him to make the decision?
Yeah, what is this going to make finally Bill Battle's head explode?
Well, Bill Battle's been going to the games, Bird, and he's seen the decline in the attendance. He's at almost every home game, Bill is, and he's seen the decline. He's seen the announcement be 10,000 and the actual be 5,000.
If that. Okay?
The 10,000 is tickets sold. The 5,000 is the poor saps that pay for the tickets in advance and feel like they have to use them. Okay. That's
wow.
Number one.
Yep.
Number two, some of the behind-the-scenes boosters, specifically Paul Bryant Jr., I believe have now got it in their minds that Grant's not the guy, and they're going to be communicating that. And if they need to raise $4 or $5 million to buy him out, they'll do it. I've been told it is not a done deal. He's back next year. I thought it was for 3/4 of the season, Bird, but I can't say that anymore.
We've been led to believe that from some of our sources internally, and as of last week even, there was my personal consternation is like, what's it take for this guy to dislodge himself or for the university to say, okay, enough is enough?
Well, if they somehow ekes out 3 more wins, meaning, let's say he beats Auburn and Arkansas at home and somehow gets a good draw and beats somebody like South Carolina and Atlanta, That gives them 100 wins in 5 years, and they might not fire him then. They might not fire him then. But I don't know that he'll eke out three more wins. The second half's begun, and Ole Miss, of course, scoring their first possession. And then Rodney Cooper came down and hit a three, so it's 45-31 now with 17:50 to go in the game, and Alabama's ball after an Ole Miss foul. But I'm not expecting a big comeback here. They had a gigantic comeback last year after they dug a big hole in Oxford, but they weren't able to pull it out. And I don't even expect that tonight. They just don't have the manpower and the shooting and all to do it tonight. Saturday against Auburn could go either way. Auburn's playing better than Alabama is right now, but Auburn doesn't play as well on the road other than Florida. Auburn should have beaten Florida in Gainesville. Anybody that saw the game will tell you that, but they didn't. It'd be really interesting. If he loses to Auburn at home, that really could be his death knell, Bird.
Well,
wouldn't you agree,
that'll be 2 o'clock this Saturday.
And listen to what I'm going to say very carefully. I don't want us to lose to Auburn ever.
No.
Ever. But the only salve on the wound if we did lose to Auburn is that if it facilitates a upgrade and a change, and it sounds like, you know, Pearl now is interested in jumping back into the coaching ranks. And, you know,
our sources have gone from there's no way in hell Alabama would hire Bruce Pearl to don't rule it out.
That's what I'm hearing too, brother.
And, I'm all for it. I got no problem with the guy. You know, if there's a way they can work it out. Here, I'm going to tell you what one of my sources told me, Bird, and you're gonna probably laugh when I say this, okay? And I laughed when he told me. But I'll go ahead and say it. He told me that there was a movement afoot to negotiate Grant's buyout down to $3 or $4 million.
Okay.
Give him a cash settlement.
I've heard that.
Make Antoine Pettway the interim head coach until August 15th when the show cause expires, and bring Bruce Pearl to the podium that day. Now, I would like to believe that, but I'm kind of struggling with it right now. But I'm just telling you that it's out there.
That doesn't sound completely outside the – part of that is what I'm hearing too, Kerry. So – you know, between
and
you and
Heather's listening, she probably just passed out in her chair out of joy.
Yeah, well, she'll be on in about 13 minutes, and so we'll see if she absolutely would be passed out from joy. And if nothing else, you would see an exciting brand of basketball under Pearl. I mean,
no question about it. Look, I would promote the program. I mean, I've got visions of him walking around in a crimson blazer. I did not until this gentleman told me this at lunch this past Friday. And it's a guy that I can, for the most part, count on. I will not put him in the realm of the Cecil Hurts of the world, but he's a decent source. And it just sounded too good to be true, and most things that sound that way are too good to be true. So I'm going to kind of reserve judgment until I get some more information. But just the fact that that story is making the rounds gave me reason for hope, and that's what I'm looking for is a little hope.
It's a little bit of the same thing that I'm getting too, and that's why I'm kind of fishing now to say, what is it that is there a straw that breaks the camel's back, Kerry, that all of a sudden
I think losing Saturday might be that straw if they lose to Auburn Saturday.
I would
just assume them go ahead and win against Auburn and then win the next Saturday for Trevor's senior day, and they can go ahead and lose tonight and lose to Kentucky and go one and done in Atlanta. And I still think there'll be cause. I still think there's just cause for make a change.
Or even if they play Auburn and have to come back and win, you know, the fact is, playing at home, playing Auburn. Auburn's a terrible road team. You know, they should beat these guys by 10 points. They should have beat them by 10 points down there.
Another 3-pointer for Shannon Hale. He's got 20 already, and there's 16 minutes to go in the game. But Alabama's down by 13 still.
Well, they dug themselves a hole, brother.
Yeah, they let Marshall Douchebag get hot there at the beginning of the game. He kind of pushed Ole Miss out to a big lead, and Alabama cut it down to 5, and then Alabama went cold again. And really, Hale is the only one doing anything tonight, including Relaford. We don't have anybody else in double digits. We have a freshman with 20 points, and we don't have another soul in double figures right now, and there's 16 minutes to go in the game.
Mm. Well, are you going to watch the game or are you going to hang with us?
Not really interested in talking about Alabama baseball, so I'm going to drop off for that portion. I'll be back at 9.
Sounds good.
Drew is not sure. So let's see. What time is it now?
It's 8:20.
Yeah,
8:19.
Whenever y'all take the next break, I can drop off, and I'll come back around 9 because I'm not sure Drew's going to be able to call at all because of his phone. Drew's been covering the state tournament all week and checking out prospects and tweeting the whole time. And I guess he didn't bring his charger or whatever. I don't know, but he's going to try to call, but he said it might be 9:30 before he has enough juice.
I gotcha.
But,
well,
he's been sending me a lot of emails and all through the week, so I've got plenty for us to talk about between 9 and 9:30. I'm not well versed enough on Alabama baseball to discuss it intelligently right now. I will say that they're playing a game down in Hattiesburg right now as we speak, and in the seventh inning, it was 1-1. A double play just ended the Southern Miss eighth, but the Eagles have taken the lead on a pinch hit RBI single. Bama has Elliott, Vincent, and Salem coming up in the top of the ninth. So it's 2-1 Southern Miss with Bama down to the last three outs. So that would be a pretty brutal road loss for them too.
Yep.
But I'll let your new baseball expert cover all that. I will be able to talk intelligently at 9 o'clock about the softball tournament. I attended the Saturday games this past week and got some observations about this year's softball team that I can share.
Excellent.
But as of now, I'll go ahead and drop off, and I'll be back. It may be a little before 9, depends on when this game's over. There's a little less than 16 minutes to go, but I will be back at that time, sir.
We look forward to it, Kerry. Go roll tide, I guess.
All right, Proheim. Later.
Later.
Hey, Bert, I'm going to jump off. I'm going to let y'all have it, too. But before I go, I want you to talk a second for something that me and you love. How great is my Baltimore Orioles going to be this year?
Oh, gosh. You know, that's one of the teams that's made monster moves in the offseason. But and like I have told you off the record and off the air, so have the Yankees. And probably one of the most competitive divisions will be that AL East this year between Tampa Bay. The O's have really, really, really made some good changes. Red Sox are strong again. And if you don't keep up with baseball, I'm telling you, watch my New York Yankees, because they have signed with that giant pocketbook of theirs some really, really awesome talent. So looking forward to opening day and, you know, let's get it on.
Masahiro Tanaka,
well,
hey, all I'm going to say.
I really enjoyed hanging out with y'all tonight.
Hey, it's been great having you back on, and looking forward to you next week at 7 o'clock. We'll have Legend on every week at 7 o'clock, and it's kind of fun. And we'll get him hooked up so you can understand him, maybe not on a cell phone, as well as we will Drew DeArmond, get him the ESPN-quality gear that Rock and Kerry and I have. And we'll have everybody doing the same thing. Anyway, thanks for the call, Legend, and we will see you next week.
All right, brother. Love y'all.
Love you, too. All right, we've got a caller on hold. Let's put him on with us. How about it, Rock?
Absolutely. I think this number is Bring the Pain. I admit I'm kind of being lazy and not screening right now, so if I'm wrong, just give us your name. 0822, I think you're Bring the Pain. Am I right?
Well, he's not. There he is.
Hey, yeah, you're right, man. You're right. Where's everybody going?
Hey, Pain, nobody's going nowhere. You got me and the Rock, you know, and I guess I could have held Legend around if he knew you were coming on. He would have loved to have said hi to you.
Yeah, I heard Legend get off. I heard Kerry get off. I was like, man, they don't want to talk to me.
No, they're out there doing their job. Kerry's actually at the game, and he's giving us the inside intel on what's happening with Ole Miss and Alabama. And, of course, Legend came on with us for about an hour and a half and thoroughly enjoyed his visit. So what you got for us tonight?
Well, I heard y'all talking, and to me, Grant needs to go now. I mean, we got players that can actually shoot the ball.
Right.
To me, I feel like he's not coaching them right. He's just being lazy.
I don't know. You know what? And I don't like to disagree with our callers, but I don't know so much. I'll point you in a different direction. I don't know so much as it's coaching as it is in a difference in systems. And I have struggled with this for the past 5 years in watching kids come into the Alabama program and struggle to adapt to Grant's system. And to me, that's on the coach. It's not so much that they don't have the talent. They do have the talent. They just got different talents. They've got talents that when you put the different talents together correctly, Payne, that's when you have a team. And I don't know that Anthony is flexible enough to see, to analyze the individual talents that every individual, okay, brings into the team concept and then wrap the team around that so that you get the best from that kid, molded to the best of that kid, to cover the weakness of that kid, et cetera, et cetera. And it's and in some ways I agree with you, and it does go back on the coach, but I don't know, it's coaching, you know, they all know how to dribble. They all know how to rebound. They all have this, you know, the ability to turn around and face the basket and shoot the ball. What is it that's wrong? Well, it's a gapping issue. It's a fundamental defensive issue. It is a transition issue, and these are all things that have to do with the flow of the game based on the talent on the floor. So anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off or go on to a diatribe, but I'm still, as you can tell, in my own head, I'm still struggling with what in the hell's wrong down there, you know? I mean, and you may be right. You may be absolutely correct that it may be a situation that he's just not doing his job as the coach in coaching up the deficiencies and the talent of some of these players. But I've always felt that you can take, give me your biggest booger-eating spaz, I'll find one thing that they can do. There's always one thing that kid can do well. And it may have nothing to do with dribbling or shooting or rebounding, but they may be able to at least stand in the lane and guard or something. And then based on that, start building the team and a building block process around that. And I don't see that. I see the kids trying to fit into the system instead of the system fitting with the kids.
Yeah, I understand that. And I was going to ask you, is there a problem with the players? I mean, do they not trust each other? Do they not have the communication skills that you need in basketball?
Rock, you want to jump in?
Well, I don't really buy that, honestly. I think it just, you know, how do you build a team? And where do the issues lie? I think Alabama basketball just has such a bad deal. If it was one side or the other, I think you could have a simple answer to your question, Payne. But I feel like when you've got a kid in a program for 2 or 3 years and they don't show development, you can't magically develop that kid in a year. You're not going to take a guy that's like freshman-level development and make him senior-level development in basketball. It's just not going to happen. Now, can you take a freshman that's been in the program for 2 or 3 years and get a little extra out of him in that one-year span? Sure. But it's just – it's an issue that is so – the problems are so multifaceted to me that there's no quick fix. And that's why I'm just kind of like, you know, kind of – you kind of have to risk throwing out the baby with the bathwater here and just kind of punching the reset button, expecting a couple of years of basketball, but, you know, kind of looking towards the future, looking towards a brighter day. That's just my opinion, though.
I started that 5 years ago. Think about what Kerry said tonight, though, and this is, I think this is going to be the answer to Payne's question, and it's right in front of us. Last game, we had a player score 33 points. He didn't start tonight.
You had to bring that up.
I mean, guys, come on. Listen to what's going on the team. You've got a player that scores 33 points in a game and then doesn't start this game. Well, that goes back to what Payne said. You know, do the players not trust each other? Well, hell, they don't know who's going to be on the floor. And how do you earn yourself into a starting position? Well, it certainly isn't by scoring 33 points in a game.
It certainly isn't by taking a game over and putting your team on your back and carrying them to a win.
Yeah. I mean, does anybody get any of this? I don't. And I mean, it's part of, I think, Payne, does that make sense? That I don't think there's any cohesiveness. You have to be able to, and I'll say this, and I've said this many times in talking about basketball. If you're gonna go to dancing in the NCAA, you have to have a team that is eight deep. You've got to have five starters, and you've got to have three guys that can basically come in for those starters and either bring an uplift or at least the same or a uplift in a different area, either on defense or on rebounding or something. But they bring another facet to the team that the team doesn't have at that point. And I don't see that in Alabama. I don't see where you've got five guys that you can start regularly every single game because, hell, it's been a revolving door. We're just keeping them on the team down there. And then secondarily, it's like, well, what do you have to do to earn yourself on as a starter on this team?
I don't know. I don't understand that. But before I go, I heard Kerry mention softball. Barrett, I got to tell you something. I'm even proud of our baseball team. They are doing so well this year. But whenever our softball team was playing in Arizona, I sent a tweet to Danae Hayes, and I told her, good luck on y'all's games this weekend. And I said, do me a favor. I told her to hit a long ball for me. And I got a text from the guy who does the radio broadcast.
Right.
He said that she hit a three-run homer. And I just started laughing.
And dedicated it to bring the pain. You got to love that. It sounds like something out of Babe Ruth, you know?
Yeah. But
hit one for me, babe. And I can hear you. Hit one for me, baby.
I wouldn't do that now.
You're a scalawag.
Huh?
You're a scalawag.
I don't know. She's cute. What can I say?
You got an eye for it.
Thanks to the program and the ticket. It is nice. I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you.
You ask and you shall receive. What people, Payne had asked me to pick up a souvenir program from the Sugar Bowl, and I brought him back a ticket stub and the program from the Sugar Bowl. I guess he got it yesterday. So no, it's my pleasure. So I'm honored to be able to do it and honored to know you, and it makes me happy that able to take care of you.
One more thing, if you can, pray for me, man. I got my blood work back, and I've got real high cholesterol, and my B12 is critically low to where it could cause me to have neurological problems. So I got to take B12 shots every day.
Oh, my. Well, brother, I keep you in my prayers every day, and I make no bones about that. And we will, with all the people I know and the people that are listening, I know they'll lift you up. Daniel Chambers is Bring the Pain. Just remember Daniel in your prayers. And this is truly a warrior, a Bama, hardcore Bama fan that's had some physical, tough physical afflictions. And just as good as gold, and one of my good friends. So Daniel, you know, we love you, and I got you in my prayers.
I love y'all too. And if you get a chance, come on up, visit me, and we'll go out to eat somewhere.
You know what? All you got to do is give me an invite. So.
Well, I just did. So. if you ever get a chance, come on up.
You got it. All right, brother.
All right, love you. Take care.
You take care, too.
All right, roll tide, guys.
Roll tide. Roll tide.
Roll tide, Payne. Well, that was a good call.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's interesting whenever we get callers like Payne calling in, and they're, they know what they're talking about when it comes to basketball, and it's obvious that there is a
They're
passion.
Not apathetic, damn it.
they're not apathetic, and they're not fair weather fans, and they're knowledgeable, and they know what they're talking about, and it, to characterize the Alabama fan base as fair weather and apathetic, well, again, I totally disagree with that. You know, I'll take a picture of my unused sheets of season tickets and post them on Facebook, because I've got unused season tickets simply because I bought the tickets, I've supported the team, but I don't support the direction they're headed. And that is my vote by saying, yes, I'll write the check, but I'm not going to put my butt in the seats because I don't like your brand of basketball. And I, you know, Rock, I've said this all year last year.
Oh, we have said this so many times. I mean, you're absolutely right. I know where you're going even.
So it's, it's just, it's a little bit of a burr in my side to have some muckraker, and I consider ourselves to be muckrakers on an occasion.
Oh, sure.
Sure. I mean,
that's part of the fun of being in the radio. You can occasionally just bitch and throw mud all over the place.
Yeah, you stir the pot. But
exactly.
But in this case, I don't think there's a whole lot of pot to stir. I mean, it's pretty obvious that we've got a bit of a dumpster fire going on down down south of us. So
yeah, absolutely.
Now is that Payne still on, or do we have another?
No, the other that is actually Marty.
Oh,
so I'm going to go in and make him live. Hey, Marty, you're live with BAMS. How's it going this evening? What you got for us?
Hey, it's going great, guys. Hey, I just want to congratulate y'all, man. I tell you what, listening to BAMS tonight, it's like a smorgasbord of unbelievable Bama. All the way. I mean, you know, Kerry Clark coming on, Legend on, Bama Bird, Rock. I mean, y'all are rocking up there, buddy. I'm telling you what, you just don't realize when you sit back as a fan like me and you sit back and you listen to this, that first hour or so, I mean, that was some awesome commentary. I really enjoyed it, you know. I'm just going to give y'all kudos, you know. Y'all did a great job.
Thanks, Marty. Well, you know, it's what's and it's not easy to do, but we have the luxury of doing a one night a show a week, and by doing it 3 hours a week, it allows us to kind of collect information during the week that of stuff that what I call water cooler talk. You know that whenever you go to the water cooler and you're talking to your buddies, it allows us to take the water cooler talk and kind of condense it and then bring it onto the air with us, and then. What's nice is we really don't see each other. I mean, we're spread all over the state. I mean, you've got none of us are really in the same place. So it allows us to, through our different contacts with our different sets of ears to the ground, to then kind of come back together on a Wednesday night and compare notes. And it's like I'm kind of hearing the same stuff about Grant that Kerry is, and it's from different sources. But it's, you know, 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for the dismissal of Anthony Grant, and now I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that that may not happen. And it, and again, it's from people I've talked to, and there are different people that Kerry have talked to, and I think we both have kind of are holding our breath.
Well, and the thing is, Bill Battle even went so far as to, like, basically intone, Anthony Grant has another year. I mean, You can't be more clear than that. And now you're hearing this, and it's like, huh, well, might be change a coming. But anyway, Marty, you were saying, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, you know the death sentence when people start coming out and talking about support, like CM Newton and all this, starting talking about the support of the coach and stuff. You know something may be happening behind the scenes when they have to bring people like that out.
But I thought the same
thing. One thing is really amazing, if you think about this, and how sweet this is. You know, I do not like Auburn. You know that. I don't like them. I hate Tennessee. I mean, I despise them.
God,
you know,
I love you.
Both of them orange. You know, but how sweet is this? We get Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden we hire Bruce Pearl with a burgundy jacket. Would that not be sweet, watching him walk out on the Coleman Coliseum, firing up the fan base, the crowd pumped up, I mean, screaming and hollering, all the signs, the faces. I mean, you know, would that not be awesome?
It would be the best. It would be the dream of all dreams, by, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I think Pearl would be a great choice from a lot of perspectives. I just hope that he doesn't bring, you know, the baggage car full of baggage with him, and you know, is able to mind his P's and Q's. But yeah, I'm with you, bro.
Well, I'm like you. I'm like you, Bird. That pisses me off to hear somebody say we're fair weather fans or whether about basketball. You put a coach in here that can coach basketball, that can bring some excitement to Coleman Coliseum. That place will be packed every home game or every home match. It'll be
It was packed last year, and it was packed the year before that with very mediocre squads. I mean, that's why I just want to call complete bullshit on that comment, because we have not had a sterling top tier team since we had one Sweet 16 team, and that's years ago. So I mean, to me, top tier team is Sweet 16. You make it to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA, and you've earned your stripes as a coach. We have not seen that at Alabama, and we continue as a fan base to go into the Coleman Coliseum, to pack it out, to put, you know, if not 100% of the seats, 95% of the seats are filled with good energy, you know, supporting the team. So whoever it was that made the commentary, they apparently have never been to an Alabama game, or they, you know, it's some guy sitting in New York City that doesn't know shit from Shinola about you know, the degree of what happens down here. I mean, from a in the seats fan, I totally take umbrage to that.
Well, you know, I've been the first one to say I was excited about the hire of Grant. I thought he was going to do a great job, but I tell you what, the players have brought on the same, reputation that he has as far as his personality. No excitement, you know. No drive. I mean, I just don't see anything there. He does not excite me as a basketball coach. He may be a great, wonderful man, and I believe he is, but he's just a wrong fit for Alabama. He's just a wrong fit. You know, he's a square peg in a round hole, and he's just not fitting in with this program, recruiting-wise, relationship with players. I don't know what it is. We need a coach to come in here to start building relationships with high school kids or grade school kids or whatever, and start looking at these kids coming up through the ranks. They can't miss. You don't have that many players in basketball, so the ones you bring in, you need to bring in players that you know that it can achieve in basketball. And he's not doing that. He is not doing that.
Well,
I'm disappointed in that.
He's brought in talent. That's the head scratcher, because Devontae Pollard was, you know, if you saw that kid play in high school and any of the films on that kid before he came into the college ranks, he was a Magic Johnson, 6'7", 6'8", could handle the ball. And then he got here and we turned him around and made him post up with his back to the basket. That's not how you use that kid. That's just not how you use that kid. So
He's gone.
He's gone.
One question for Drew, if he's coming on, I hope you can ask, or if Kerry comes on. You know, I've been hearing some bad things about Womack, Dallas, looking really hard at Auburn. I mean, can you bring us up to date on that when he comes on?
We'll do it. We'll absolutely do it.
Man, guys, I enjoyed the show. I mean, it's a great show. I mean, y'all doing a wonderful job. I appreciate everything y'all do, and you know, and believe me, there's people out here listening to y'all, and y'all are doing a great job. And I'm gonna give y'all a big roll tide.
Roll Tide, Marty, and thank you so much for listening, and we will see you again next week. Well, I hope you stick around, Marty, because we have got rolling live with us now. Good friend of the program, a good friend of Alabama, my Crimson Chaos author, Heather Thomas. Heather, how are you tonight?
I'm drying my tears right now. I was watching Gamecaster, keeping up with baseball, and listening to everybody passing for the basketball game. I'm just sobbing right now, Bertie.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, Southern Miss has got a good program, and I mean that's something that people need to understand, that that's not a catastrophic thing. We're playing on the road. Alabama is Alabama, and anytime Alabama plays anybody, we've got a target on our back. So, what did we lose that one by? 2-1.
Yeah, third game that we've lost by 2-1, and we had a chance to win in the end. My boy Georgie was ready to run in for the score, but it just didn't work out.
They'll figure it out. I'm not worried about it. I mean, they'll get it. They've got the talent.
Pitching, defense, everything looks great. They just really need to work on hitting.
Well, and moving players around, and that's part of being a team sport. And coach will be able to get the right pegs in the right holes, which is kind of interesting. And before I hop to baseball, have you got the basketball score?
I turned it off to call you guys, but it's bad. Relly is playing like a walk-on tonight. I mean, it has been atrocious.
Well, I don't know if you caught
He missed his last two free throws when I was listening. It was to the point where Chris Stewart and passing are just laughing in disgust.
I'm glad I'm not one of the guys having to actually do the play-by-play down there, because it would be hard to do as in a professional status. When your team is folding up around you, you know, it really
this program. You know, I didn't even follow basketball before I started working with Brian. And, I mean, he loves it so much, he got me involved in the program. And now I'm all wrapped up in it. But
What's your commentary on – there was a comment from one of the sports writers that Alabama has got a quote-unquote fair-weather fan base, that, you know, they'll only support a winner in basketball. And I'm not going to tell you what I said earlier in the show, but I'd like to kind of get your opinion of that.
I think that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. I think this is a fabulous fan base.
Yep.
I think the fan base has quit. I think the players have thrown in the towel, and – I don't even know if Grant cares at this point. I wrote last week in my blog, it looks like half the time, you know, he's thinking about how to beat traffic out of the arena rather than coaching.
Yeah, it's certainly not trying – he's not certainly playing chess on the sidelines, because there's just – well, you know, here's the problem, Heather. The problem is that you have to have pieces on the chessboard to play chess with. And he doesn't have enough pieces sitting next to him on the damn bench to even play chess.
Well, that's what happens when you
coach.
Don't implement all of your scholarships. That's
so
what happens when you have this kind of player attrition. The handful of Grant supporters that are still around are saying, well, you know, look who he's recruiting, look who we're going to have next year. Well, if he can keep them,
you know,
there's no guarantee of that.
My comeback to them is, How long do you reward mediocrity? Because this has been a mediocre program since he took over. And I had major, major respect for Anthony when he came in. I was very excited, and I thought, okay.
Oh, me too.
He's going to get control of this program. He's going to bring a winning style of basketball in here. He's going to recruit the hell out of, not only the state, but the Southeast, and put us as one of the top-tier programs. And to me, Heather, a top-tier program is top 20. That doesn't mean you're top five. That doesn't mean North Carolina and Duke. But it means that you can go out and play competitive basketball with other top-tier programs anytime during the year. I have not seen that.
0-13 on the road. We have been to the Big Dance one time in his tenure. That's unacceptable. We're not going to the dance this year. We're not even going to the team this year. Seriously.
No, it's a joke.
Can you justify that? And, you know, one thing that's come out this week that I've read a lot about that's really surprised me is Cam Newton's comments about us being too hard on him and that he deserved more time. Not one person has brought up the fact that Cam Newton is the person that actually hired him.
Yeah.
He's a little biased, you know.
So yeah.
I think
it's just,
people are putting a little bit too much credence in what he's saying.
This is 5 years, kiddo. And this is like, CM, have you been asleep or in a coma for the past 5 years? Because, dude, this is 5 years later. This is his kids. This is his program. They have, you know, they remodel Coleman Coliseum. We put the butts in the seats for you. There are no excuses. If anything, last year should have been his breakout year, and this year should have been the follow-on and the build on the breakout year, but it has not come down that way. And I'll tell you, it's not going to. There has been a revolving door of talent down there that I started screaming about on BAMS a year ago, and I said something is wrong, dire wrong, in T-Town because of the number of kids that EA have either quit or are transferring out or are being asked to
the
leave.
The attrition is mind-boggling. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And to your point earlier, yeah, I was really excited when they hired him. I thought that he was really going to put this program back on the map. However, it goes to show, are we a football school? Yeah. Do we have a winning basketball tradition? Yeah, we do.
Yes.
We just need, it's not just coaching, it's the man. And that's why for two seasons I have been on this Bruce Pearl bandwagon.
Well, I wasn't last year because I didn't see the sands clicking through the hourglass quickly enough, and I didn't think we'd have a snowball's chance in Hades of getting him on board here. But it's starting to look like, you know, your little parade of running down the street.
My one-woman bandwagon.
One-woman bandwagon.
Crowded now.
Well, you know, you look good in the majorette outfit, though, so just keep with the man wagon. But it's starting to pay off because I'm now this week, for the first time since Christmas, starting to hear that that's not outside the realm of possibility.
I heard from somebody within the program.
Yep.
That said, the thought of Bruce Pearl is not off the table.
That's what I've heard, too.
I agree.
So, you know, what's the Jim Carrey line? So you're saying there's a chance? You know, maybe that's what it is, but I definitely know that there is a possibility of it.
Carrey's back on with us, and I think we are hearing some of the same stuff from three different places. So that, you know what, that gives me cause celebre, and I think that it's hopefully, you know, right now, I just think we need a change. It doesn't have to necessarily be Bruce Pearl. Hell, go up to Memphis and hire the kid up at Memphis. He can coach rings. You know, he's a great recruiter. He's actually a decent coach. It would be three steps up from what we have here. But you know what? He's probably got a better situation in Memphis than we can offer at Alabama.
Well, the thing that you have to look at is when Wimp had his program so good, Wimp was a master marketer. That's what we need. We don't need just a really good coach. We need somebody that's going to have the personality.
Anthony is not a marketer. He does not like the media. He does not like being in the public eye at all.
He's invisible. Other than the three words he sputters out to Brian Pasek during the halftime broadcast.
Which is not a lot, by
talk.
The way. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So being in the position that we're in, we need somebody to market the school, to get basketball back in the limelight in the media, to get the fan base passionate about it again, because we're not. I'm a basketball fan, and the only game I will have attended this season will be the Arkansas game because I'm hoping it's going to be my farewell to Anthony Grant.
Huh.
That's why Bruce Pearl just makes so much sense. And
well,
he's not an idiot. He's not an idiot. He's not. It would be career suicide. He would never coach again if he were to do anything.
Well, let's do this. Let's shift gears a bit. I know that you have been historically just a huge baseball fan, right?
I am going on week 3 of being a baseball fan.
That's why I thought it'd be fun to have you on the show tonight, because you and I have talked, and I know that you've been down and caught, been down to the stadium and watched some mm-hmm. baseball with the Alabama Crimson Tide. From your perspective, now this is, folks, I have to let you know, literally, Heather and I go back a few years, and she is a hardcore, maybe one of the best overall football fans I've ever met as far as knowledge is concerned. Knows basketball, but you could have taken a tiddlywink, a golf ball, and a baseball, and I would have said, you know, pick the baseball, and you would have pointed at the golf ball. I mean, you really have not done anything with baseball at all, correct?
Okay, that is an understatement.
Okay, understatement. So,
and I had no desire to learn.
And you had no desire to learn.
Went to the opening series, all three games. Only reason I went, my baby sister forced me.
Right. Yay, Ashley.
I was blown away.
So you had a good time, didn't you?
The University of Alabama is doing everything possible to make that the best fan experience. And I am so proud. I mean, I can't wait to go back. You know, I went Sunday and had the best time. And I don't really even know that much about baseball. I'm learning now.
What made it a special enough that you would want to go back? I mean, because you have become less of a fan and more of a proselyte fairly quickly. And yes, they've got a decent team. It's fun to go watch a team that's at least as competitive. So that's on the table.
You don't even really have to be a fan. If you want to get out, the weather's starting to get gorgeous. And if you just want a fun day out with your friends or a fun day out with the family, that is the perfect thing to do. I was saying on my blog the other day, there are three things that just blew me away. First of all, whoever came up with the new right field terrace is a genius. It's completely free. You can bring in, they had tailgating tents up the other day. They had lounge chairs. The students are so loud. I was laughing so hard you could hear them heckling. Anytime one of the outfielders came close to them, they were just getting them down the road. You can bring alcohol in as long as it's in a cup. Last Friday night, they stopped the clicker, the counting, at 1,600 people. It was packed. And when I went Sunday, it was just as packed and just loud. Those kids are having a great time, and it's not costing them a dime. And the main reason I chose Sunday to go is, guys, if you have kids, you've got to go to a baseball game at the Joe on Sunday. It was, I don't even have children, and it was so moving to me. They line up on the field after the game, and every kid gets to run the bases one by one. And when they're finished, the entire team lines up in right field and takes a knee. And you can go down the line and meet every one of the baseball players mm-hmm. and get the autographs, take pictures. I mean, I'm 37, and I thought it was pretty cool. Can you imagine what these little 8-year-old boys think? I mean, I saw so many dads become rock stars and so many moms get the best photo ops the last couple of Sundays there. I mean, it's just really heartwarming. It's really a great family experience. And even if you don't want to go to the terrace area that's free, I mean, you can get tickets at the gate for $8 and $4 for kids. So you're talking about a day that your kids will never forget, and it's less than what you would pay to go to a movie. And I'm a little too obsessed with this thing they've got called Tide Snacks. Have you heard of this?
No.
Birdie, you get on your phone, on the internet, and you choose the food you want from the concession stand, and they bring it to you, I swear.
No.
This so, is awesome.
What do you do, text it to them or what?
No, you get, when you go in the gate, they'll give you a card.
Right.
And I can't even think of it off the top of my head. I think it's TideSnacks.com. But you go and you click which venue you're at, So you would click the baseball menu, and then you just choose what you want. It has a list of items. You choose the quantity and what you want, and they bring it to you. And, like, I love America.
Dude, that's better than the Major League Baseball.
We are 2 days late. I know. You know it's America when you're at a baseball game on Sunday and you are too late to stand in the concession line. I know. It was great. But now I can't say enough about this experience. I highly recommend everybody at least check out one game.
What, have you got any clue of who's upcoming? And I guess this is not a rhetorical question, but a question that I'll pose to you and let Kerry chime in. Should BAMS come down and do a tailgate for one of the games?
I think that would be a great idea.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody do a tailgate for a baseball game, but I'm up for it. I would certainly do a fun tailgate for one of the baseball. Maybe LSU when they come and play up here.
And I just happen to know a man that might get you a couple of interviews.
Well, that would be fun. But, no, it's exciting for me because I think that, you know, it's, again, fair weather fans. I think Bama fans are fairly special across the board, and it doesn't matter if it's softball or baseball. They do a pretty doggone good job of supporting the team no matter what it is and no matter what they're doing. And it's been gratifying for me to listen to you and to follow you. And that's why I thought, you know, I think getting Heather on BAMS and talking about the baseball team and the and truly positive experience that you've had down there, and that it's not just, okay, I'm sitting up here and I don't know what I'm doing, but, you know, they've opened up that the outfield. They've got a party atmosphere out there. The tickets are cheap, what they're doing for the kids with the end of the game so that the kids can go down and meet the players and get up close and personal on Sundays. You know what? That's all major, major, major kudos to me, and it makes for a strong program and a good bond between the fan base and then the team itself.
Well, I looked at one of the people on the committee Sunday was sitting down with me that's in charge of raising the funds for the stadium upgrades, and I looked at him and I said, this is why I'm so proud to be an alum of this university. This is awesome. It was, you know, just one of those moments. And like I said, you don't have to know anything. I don't know anything about baseball. And I am having the time of my life. I'll be back next weekend.
Well, it's a wonderful sport to sit back and relax. And if you and Mrs. Bird go with each other, she will teach you everything you need to know because she is hardcore baseball fan.
Well, I am not afraid to ask questions because I looked at my mom and my sister the first weekend we were there, and I said, "Is this how regular girls feel at football games? I don't like it."
Well, it's baseball's simple, but it's complicated or complex in its simplicity for yin and yang. But no, it thrills me that you've been able to absorb some of the program and then be able to share it with BAM's listeners.
Absolutely. Well, I hope everybody can take time to catch a few games this year, and I do. I think it's going to be a good season. I think the pitching looks really good from my novice perspective.
Well. It's if nothing else, it's nice to get outside and enjoy a pretty afternoon. So, not a lot to complain about baseball. You sit there with a cold drink, and I don't eat a lot of hot dogs, but by heaven, when I go to a baseball game, I'm having me a hot dog with onions and mustard. And
they taste just like the ones at Bryant Denny. I was having football flashbacks. It was wonderful.
Yeah. That's good. You know, it's the stair step over to A-Day. So basically, you know, then you get baseball to A-Day, then A-Day to fall practice or summer practice, and then off we go. Oh, my. So.
Well, I do have a question before I hang up for Kerry.
Yeah.
Is he still on?
Yes, honey. Yes, honey.
Kerry.
What?
I want to know, can I hold? Why your tune changed. I saw your tweet on Twitter, and I was absolutely giddy.
So you weren't listening when I divulged all this 45 minutes ago.
She wasn't listening.
Heather.
I'm sorry. I was trying to keep up with the baseball team.
Well, they lost.
I'm so sorry.
They got a tough one this weekend, too, Heather. Louisiana Lafayette is the number 10 team in the country.
Yes.
and they're coming to Cyril Thomas this weekend. They're going to have their hands full. If Bama were to get 2 out of 3 this weekend, we would be doing very well. That being said, I'll repeat what I said earlier in the hour, or I guess it was last hour now. We have a group, Heather, that meets and has lunch just to talk football and basketball every Friday, different restaurants around town. And one of my friends, I've been friends with a guy for 10 or 15 years, fellow Red Elephant member, he says, "Kerry, I got to tell you what I heard about basketball." And I said, "Okay, Bruce Pearl, right?" He goes, "Well, listen to this." I said, "Okay, go ahead." One of my good sources, now this is not me saying this, this is my friend. One of my good sources has told me, Kerry, that there's a movement afoot to negotiate Grant's buyout down from $5 million down to about $3 million, and that they've already been in contact with Bruce Pearl, and he's expressed an interest in what they would do if they get all this worked out, and it's not worked out yet, okay, I'm not saying it is, but what they would do if they get all this worked out is that, you know, not long after the team gets back from Atlanta, they would officially announce that Grant's being let go, and they would name Antoine Petway interim head coach to keep the recruiting together. And then on August 15th, when his show cause expires, they would name Pearl the head coach. I said, "Seriously?" I don't want to say the guy's name, but I said, "Seriously, blank? I mean, do you really believe that?" "Well, it's from a good source." And I said, "Well, I hope you're right. You know, it sounds too good to be true, and I hope it's true, but it's the first time that anybody that had any kind of connections has told me that." Now, I know that Mac on Tyler Insider, who's the son of a Board of Trustee guy, I know that he has just, you know, shot this down left and right and saying it's not going to happen. So I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. I went from 100% no to maybe there's some hope.
I don't even have as good information as that. Somebody within the program said, "It's not off the table. Guys, y'all have to come pick me off the floor if they hire Pearl. I don't think my heart could take it. I'd be so excited."
My first step is just releasing of Anthony Grant, and then you'd have to pick me off the floor. And then at that point, it's if it has a heartbeat and can get excited, I'll be excited. But if it is Pearl, you know, for us to go back to Tennessee on the Lane train, when Bam goes up to Neyland Stadium to play those toothless, you know, whites, which, of course, you guys are all invited to get on the 14-seat van that we'll be renting to take up there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do just like we did Auburn. We're going
to
have
you wait for a brother to do his post-game interviews and write his stories?
I absolutely wait. Are you kidding? With Big Head Chuck and his Applejack that he brings, we will make sure that we wait for you.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, I happen to know a
would it involve a hug from Heather?
I happen to know a good
Absolutely.
Sports writer in town that will be with us as well. So his wife will be part of our crew.
His wife is a good photographer, by the way.
His wife is a spectacular.
Actually, a great photographer.
Spectacular National Geographic level. But no, that's the intent is for 14 of our bestest, most loyalist to go up on the Lane train, but to walk out there and announce Bruce Pearl along with Lane Kiffin in
let me give you some caveats on the Pearl thing before I get y'all's hopes too high. Now, Auburn approached him before anybody, and the article that came out this past Saturday where the USA Today interviewed Pearl and he went on the record saying that a D1 team had approached him and he had turned them down, I have very good reason to believe that was Auburn.
Yeah.
And that got Alabama's attention, I think.
Can go on record saying I'm 90% certain that was Auburn. And I'll tell you another team that's sniffing around him.
Tennessee.
Georgia.
Tennessee.
Well, Georgia's
coach
has saved
his job. Tennessee's
not
even being.
He still lives in Knoxville. Tennessee
yeah,
is his
Tennessee's
first
not
choice.
Being secretive about it.
Yeah, Tennessee is Bruce's first choice.
Well,
but I don't know. I don't
that's
know
where
if
he'll go. Then
BLT is going to go.
All
there.
I know is
if,
I think
I don't
people
know if
forget.
Going to let it happen. What's that?
Well, I think people forget that Tennessee's basketball situation was very similar to ours when he came in. He's shown that he can turn it around
immediately.
I fully within year one. You're right, Bertie. You're right. I just whole guys, y'all know. There's nobody that loves this program more than I do. I love our athletic programs. I would never be promoting a coach that I thought would put me through 10 more years of the Valley of the Shadow of Death. I've been there before. I don't care about going back.
Yeah, but I think the Georgia coach has actually saved his job, Heather. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think he's going anywhere. They're going to probably make a decent run in the NIT. He's done a lot better coaching job than I've ever seen him do since he's been at Georgia. But that being said, I mean, Tennessee will be involved. But if Alabama makes the first and best offer, I think Alabama can get him.
I think the very reason people that are against him don't want him there is the very reason I think we can get him. Because I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. And we have not shown in many years a commitment to make this a winning program. So I don't think we're in a position to land a top-tier coach right now, and I think that's why we can get him.
Well, I think he is a top-tier coach, and I think he is probably of the ilk of a Jimmy Boeheim or a Tom Izzo or some of the greats that are out there, even the Dookie.
He hasn't proven that, but he's proven he's of the ilk of Wimp Sanderson, and I'd take that in a heartbeat.
He can get carry.
He's of that ilk.
Oh my God.
He's a top 20 coach, and to me, you get meeting the top 20, and I'm pretty happy as a fan.
But you were naming top five guys there.
Okay. So I dream big. And then we got Nick Saban, you know. So
well, that's a different story.
Why?
Luke Pearl is not no Nick Saban. He's more like a Wimp Sanderson type guy. That's fine.
I think at this point,
I would literally take Wimp Sanderson.
Yeah, if you wanted to do it
over Anthony Grant, anyone at this point.
It would be interesting because I hate to say it, but I think Wimp would do a better job. Anthony is just not what we need, and it's 5 years is plenty of time to get your kids in, to get your program established, and then from that point on, you ought to be rolling. To another 2 to 3 years of this, and my head will explode. So,
I'll tell you this too: that Sam Booster I was speaking with Sunday said, "Don't think Satan's not watching the situation very closely. He very much wants a really good atmosphere to take those kids to."
He can't take them in there now.
Yeah, he's quit taking them.
And he can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't take them to Chuck's every time.
No, I mean, it's sad because I can remember when
he is monitoring this. So
2 years ago, sitting in the stands, you know, there'd be a buzz around me. It's like they're so and so from the football recruit, that they would bring in and they wouldn't even be quiet about it. You know, you could tell, oh, yeah, that's one of the recruits, and everybody'd wave, and they'd wave back. And this would be in front of, by the way, Mr. Fairweather fan, a packed house. So, you know, yet again, that has...
It's about the product. Don't insult me with this product, and I'll pay good money and go. Look at Coach Murphy. He just won his 800th win last week.
I was there.
I mean, you can't tell me. Oh, are you? Awesome.
Yeah.
You can't tell me.
Came up and spanked a good UAB team.
Yeah.
A good 3-7 UAB team.
Well, they're pretty
but
good
you
team.
You can't tell me he had all that fan support when he started. He built
No,
it.
He didn't.
You
no,
can't tell
he,
me.
He's a great promoter. Heather, he has
you can't
his
tell
kid
me Sarah
deliver
Patterson.
Season tickets. She's a great promoter.
Yeah.
Do you know that Murphy has his players deliver season tickets to fans in person?
I did not know that until a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he does. He's been doing it for years. He's a great promoter.
Yeah.
And Sarah is a great promoter.
I have literally heard Sarah Patterson call into radio sports shows as a caller.
Yes.
To promote something. Not scheduled, not anything. She literally called in just a random caller.
Yep. You're right.
To promote it. And that's what it takes. And look now. I mean, gymnastics sells out now.
They do.
Every game.
Got to build a program.
Or every meet. Every meet.
Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to build a program. So.
Is there any BAMS gymnastics tickets available? I want to go to the Auburn meet.
Well, I can. I can certainly do somersaults in front
it's,
of.
It's Friday. I think it's the 14th or 15th of March, right in there.
Mm. Seriously, you want tickets to carry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the irony of that meet, and Heather's not going to like this. But the irony of that meet is for us, it's going to be number 109 in a row against them, and maybe it'll shut some of them up about that 109 back in Jordan-Hare. To me, that 109,
I'm
though,
never going back to
day,
that stadium.
After signing day and after getting Evans and after them losing to Florida State, that 109 feels more like about 59 yards to me.
Yeah, you know, I don't need to hear anything from anybody at Auburn ever because they had the opportunity to bring the crystal ball back to Alabama and they dropped it and shattered it. So thank you very much for choking Auburn.
Yeah, ruining the SEC streak.
Did you want to live with another year of all those shirts and flags and all that around Birmingham, Burr? I didn't.
Not me, baby.
No.
Not really. But you know what?
That last tail back in that trunk, okay?
Like I'm surprised that they choked and dropped it. No, I mean they stumbled their way into it. There were three games of miracles.
Yes.
Come on, it wasn't like they pounded their way into it. I mean, Florida State,
but
for God's sakes, was a monster getting
in
there.
They beat our brains in 49-0. You would not realize it was in the last play.
I don't get that too much from many Auburn fans because all I have to do is turn around and say, shake their hand, say, you were up for us, you were ready, we were flat, good game, and then you drop the crystal. So shut up.
Yeah.
And we still have 15 and they still have 2.
No, Jay Jacobs now has got them up to like 14 after.
Well, they never have done that yet. That was just talk.
After the Olympic hockey thing, I think he tried to take credit for the U.S. and the Russians.
Guys, I'm on that bandwagon. I hope they do it. I hope they do it because it's just one more piece of artillery I have to show what hypocrites they are.
So you didn't enjoy your time at Jordan-Hare?
I will never go back.
I won't either.
I'm not either.
We went early.
I'll never go back.
This is not with a drunken group of friends or whatnot. It was my mom and I. She looked at me and she said, I've never been treated so bad in my life. And this was before the game.
Yeah.
This was before the game.
It's a different bunch. And let me ask you a question. And, Carrie, you've been down there. I've been down there. Now, Heather, you've been down to Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Does it feel like an overgrown high school to you? I mean, it's like you've taken a big high school and just put it on steroids and pumped it up. But to me, I feel like I'm sitting in a Vestavia game on Friday night. No, I'm serious.
Well, in 2010, I know this is probably going to shock you. In 2010, I went to 3 Auburn games. I think their campus is ugly. I think their stadium is subpar. I got to hand it to them. They know how to make that atmosphere crazy.
No, I feel like I'm with a bunch of drunken high schoolers.
It's a cult, man.
So, anyway. And I mean,
absolutely. Anybody that would just try to destroy a family over football.
They didn't try to.
I'm still in soccer for that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, Bird.
Yes, Daddy.
If anybody cares, the final score was Ole Miss 79, Alabama 67.
So
Shannon Hale had 27 points, 9 rebounds. Rutherford had 16, 14 in the second half, and Randolph off the bench with 13. But,
which means that Shannon Hale will not start the next game. And, you know.
That's a season high for Hale, right?
Yeah, which means career high because he's a freshman.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Yeah.
Hale is part of the big future. He is. He's a... And, you know, while we were running them down, they actually cut it to 6 at one point, and Ole Miss had to call a timeout. And then after the timeout, they blew it back out to a wider margin. But with about 5 minutes to go, we actually had it down to a 6-point game.
That's called coaching, Kerry.
Andy's not much of a coach, but he wins his home games.
You call a timeout and you make your adjustments and you go back and
they did.
The adjustments work and then you end up winning your game by a
whole lot. We got 2 points in the entire first half from Relaford. He had 14 in the second half. Had he done anything at all?
He played like a walk on. Is he injured?
Yes, he is.
I think he's tired, Heather.
He got a knee bone of a Missouri player to his thigh Saturday. And he finished the game on guts, and he's still limping a little bit. So to answer your question, he is hurt a little bit.
Deep thigh contusion is very painful. And
hurts like hell.
And it takes forever to heal up.
Yep.
I mean,
and the only thing he healed
is to Bertie's point, he's got, on top of that, he's got to be exhausted because he put this whole team on his back. I don't know how many games this season.
And he did break the 1,800 career point barrier tonight. So hopefully he can win his last two home games. Hopefully he can beat Auburn and Arkansas. Of course, it'd be dumb to act like we're going to go to Kentucky and win next week. But hopefully they can beat Auburn and Arkansas and maybe get one in Atlanta, maybe. But I think that's the best-case scenario I just laid out.
I think you're very optimistic.
I said maybe. That. Hopefully. I didn't say they would.
Well, you know.
And guys,
after
Levi Randolph showed up and showed out playing Missouri.
Which earned him a place of starting, didn't it?
Not tonight.
It was Raley's last game against his home state.
33 points, and he didn't start the next game. What is wrong with this picture?
But the amount of people that tweeted me, I was so excited and proud for those kids that
night.
He's
a nice kid. I like him just as a kid.
And the amount of people that tweeted me that were mad. They were genuinely mad. These are Alabama fans. That we lost. I mean, that we won. And
no.
Never.
I don't care
what state of the program is. You don't ever hope those kids lose because they work their butts off when you're sitting there eating pizza and drinking on the couch and observing their practicing and working and trying and giving you a product. You don't ever, ever pull against them. One win is not going to make people automatically think, oh, Anthony Grant missed Kingucci after all. I was wrong.
Yeah, you can be disappointed, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
That's right.
Exactly.
Tired,
Anthony Grant at some point will be gone. All these coaches come and go. Gene Stallings has openly admitted he's an A&M fan. Granted, it hurts a little bit when he says it, but it just goes to show his coaches. But these kids will always be a part of this program.
Well, he needs to quit coming up here taking commercial money then.
So, Bird, do we got any calls?
I still love him, Hush.
We've had some when you were off.
No, I was listening to that. I heard all that. That story about Payne was great. The thing with the softball thing, that was awesome. I actually just left the basketball volume potted down and brought the screen up and listened to you guys for a while.
Ah.
I never actually left.
Yeah, Marty called and Payne called.
I heard those calls. But I was wondering, like, do you see any 256s popping up that could be Drew?
I'm on the board. By the way, Rock is out doing Mardi Gras. His girlfriend stood next to the console and dressed him in some outlandish outfit, with feathers and plumes and sequins. And
so he's the jester this year.
And dragged him out into the the cacophony of the streets of Mobile, Alabama to celebrate Mardi Gras. So good for him. I hope Rock has a big time. Big part of the show. but he told me to tell everybody, give everybody a hail and hearty Roll Tide. So that's from Rock Watts. But no, we don't have a 256 as of yet. And
I'm texting right now. I'm not sure what the status of his phone is because he's been working the state basketball tournament all day.
Well, by next week he'll have the Alesis and the headset. The headset is in and the Alesis is on its way, so we'll have him hooked up. And what we're talking about, Heather, is the super special, super secret, cool electronic gear that knits BAMs together electronically from place to place around the state of Alabama.
That and Skype.
Awesome.
That and Skype.
You've come a long way since our first show.
Oh, honey, have we ever. But you know what's kind of ironic? It's I'm back in the same room because it's a bloody cold down in the studio that I'm just running off of brought the notebook upstairs with my gear. So until this effing weather gets over with.
Hey, Bird, how many listeners have we been having lately?
You know what? We are 56,000, Carrie.
Unique listeners?
Yes.
That's pretty great.
There are radio stations in this state that would give their eye teeth for that. And the nice thing is we're picking up sponsors. And talking about sponsors, if you guys will hang with me, let me play at least an ad for my first and best sponsor who's coming back with us, not to forget our good friends at Sunbelt Tent. So I'm going to play the Sunbelt Tent and mention a couple of others when we come back because we are a sponsored program. We'll be right back with Heather, our Crimson Chaos Lady, and Carrie Clark and the Bird.
So, what makes BAM's tailgate so darn special?
Sunbelt Inflatable Tents can supply you with custom-designed tents for your tailgate needs. Corporations, businesses,
or just the most hardcore fans are the customers of Sunbelt Inflatable Tents.
Reach them at their website, www.sunbeltinflatabletents.com, and ask for Billy, or call 251-247-1169 to order.
Gotta love our Sunbelt Tent. In fact, I've been in conversation with Billy, Heather, just want to let you know, and he's going to give us a new skin, not give us, but reskin the outside of the BAM's tent. So we'll have a fresh new look and feel, and he's going to put some sides on it. So for those bitter cold days when we're out at Bryant Denny and the wind's whipping through and our teeth are chattering, we'll actually have some walls that we'll be able to put up on the tent. And to mention another sponsor, Big Head Chuck's Barbecue. Big Head Chuck's going to be with us again next year, and you have not lived. And Big Head Chuck's, BigHeadChuck.com, Carrie? What is his web address?
Oh, BigHeadBBQ.com, .net. Yeah.
Again, Chuck's stuff is available for catering. It's available for private parties. He does not have a restaurant per se, but it is without a doubt, and I am a connoisseur. Listen, yeah, we're about to lose Carrie. I mean, there's not anybody that has tasted there. You know, he's having an orgasm here with Bams.
His homemade sauce, though. It's really good.
It is, and not only that, but, you know, he does a great job with his barbecue. It's not dry. His ribs are terrific. His brisket is terrific. And then the triple threat. Holy cow.
He's just a great guy altogether.
Oh, he's funny as all get out. Chuck is just
I love him. And he is my vice president on the Hire Bruce Pearl bandwagon. And speaking back to Billy really quick, guys, I cannot tell you a nicer man to do business with. So if you're looking for a tailgating tent, please give him a call. He is really an extraordinary person.
SunbeltTents.com. Mm-hmm. And a huge Alabama fan. He'll sell mm-hmm. a tent and custom build a tent to any size that you want, to any school in the country, to any group. You know, the Good Brothers now have one of his tents. So,
which is really slick, by the way.
Yeah, they theirs is very cool, man, because it's got all their numbers up, and it's got Langham's number on it.
Yep.
And we are...
And you know how to throw down, too.
Yeah, honorary goods.
We are blessed to be able to set up next to the Shelby County alumni and next to the Goods right there on University Avenue. But we've become good neighbors and good friends over the years, and it is more fun when we tailgate at an Alabama football game and you've got all three of those rocking. There is some booty shaking going on, and there's some occasional adult spirits being imbibed, and there's some smack talking to the fans walking by. It's
King
a lot.
Crimson's, King Crimson's wife out there dancing with the sisters. That was classic.
Or King himself out there dancing. King was getting down, had a cigar, and was doing the booty shake. But
to admit, King is the highlight of me going to this tailgate these days. He has been a hoot this year.
King loves it. King has, I think, found his place in life. In fact, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he's Heather, he's part of the Lane train. He will be one of the crew that goes up to Tennessee. So again, we're going to have a 14-seat van. So get your
I'm down with it, man.
get your tickets in early because
you need this in writing, or I mean, I'm down.
No. What I'll do is I'll buy 14 tickets together, and we'll
don't worry about me getting a ticket. I just need a seat.
Yeah, no, you'll have a seat on the van. And then
I'll have a press pass to the game. I don't need
interesting cast of characters that will be loaded in. But our good friend Bama Gretch will be going, and Big Head Chuck, and Chuck will bring the barbecue. And
you know who don't need to go?
Who's that?
Those two girls that the judge was telling us about that ate hot dogs all the way to Auburn and back a couple years ago.
They're Auburn fans, dude.
Yeah, but. Don't bring them tonight.
They won't be.
Don't need to be smelling no hot dogs. It's not like we're playing LSU the corn dogs.
Heather, this was when your mama had the issue with her head, and you didn't get to go on that trip. Remember, you were supposed to go with us down to Auburn, and
the kidney stones, and we spent the weekend in the hospital. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Had the kidney stone. Well, we replaced you and your mama with two ringers, and come to find out, these two ladies were Auburn fans, and they pre-made up, and my hands to heaven, no less than about 80 hot dogs, and brought them in a big paper sack. And now we dined on hot dogs all the way down, but I don't think they ever quit eating hot dogs. I think they ate maybe 15 hot dogs apiece.
Yeah, so they're not invited.
Those Auburn women.
It just goes to show. So anyway, but yeah, the Lane train will be a hoot and a half, and in fact, I've already got the van reserved from over here, not far from me. And while I'm talking about sponsors, we've got a new potential sponsor coming on with us, Mike Estes with Estes Painting. You know, I'll tell you what, I had my house done, not my whole house, but Heather, you've been in my house, and Carrie, you've been in my house. You know that I've got the cathedral ceiling that's what, 50 feet tall when you walk in the front door.
Yeah.
Well, we've lived here 25 years, and that's never been painted. And finally, Miss Bird looked at me and said, you know, either you're going to get your ass up there or, you know, I'm going to hire a helicopter, but we have got to get this ceiling painted. So Mike and his crew at Estes Painting had done a fabulous job up at my lake house last year. So we called Mike, came out, gave us what I consider to be a stupidly righteous quote. He and his guys show up. They're there on time. You don't have to worry about anything. It is a professional job. There's not a speck of paint anywhere. They move your furniture. They cover your furniture. And, you know, basically in a day and a half time, I got my bedroom painted, the vaulted cathedral ceilings, as well as the downstairs guest room and bath. And you know what? It's a price that I couldn't have done on my own by myself. So Mike Estes Painting. In fact, his web address is, and this is a freebie, Mike, it's just because you've done such a great job, is estespainting.com. So if you're looking for either commercial or residential painting, this guy nails it.
They do small jobs?
He does anything. He does anything. In fact, he does, you know, he will do, if you've got a soffit outside your house that needs to be replaced and just that piece painted, they'll come do that. And call him and tell him you're a BAMS listener and you heard him on BAMS, and I tell you, he will absolutely get you a great deal.
Well, I will definitely call him because my master bathroom needs painting so bad, and
I'm going to give you the number.
Auburn game than paint.
Me too.
Okay.
That number for Mike and an Estes Painting is, I can put my glasses on, 910-0219. That's his cell. And just tell him, yeah, you talked about him on BAMS last night, and you've got some work, and tell him to get his butt over there. He does a fabulous job, though. This is the second job he's done for me, and I don't have people back if they really don't ring the bell. And a personable guy, got great crews, follows up with you.
Trustworthy.
I can't say enough good about him, Heather. I really can't. He and his crews are just the best of the best. So coming from the bird, take it as a personal endorsement for Estes Painting and his crew of workers. So there you go.
And I'll just find a window cleaning sponsor for me.
He does all that stuff. He will come in and do that.
Really?
Too.
That's what I really need.
They will pressure wash the outside of your house. They will come up and they will clean your windows. Any paint work you need done, even to the point of like small deck jobs and things like that, Estes will handle. So don't assume just because it says commercial and residential painting on the card. I mean, he literally can handle. They came in and they pressure washed my my enclosed porch, or the circular porch up at the lake house, and pressure washed the whole lake house before they primed it, before they painted it. I mean, stuff that I would have never dreamed being done, these guys really take the extra mile. And it sounds like this is a paid-for commercial. It's not. Mike hasn't given me a nickel. Now, he's considering coming on and advertising with BAMS, but I'm going to tell you, they are top drawer and really do a fine job. You will not be unhappy if you bring those guys in. So get you a list.
National champions of painters.
get your winders clean and get your house painted there, Heather, and I think you'll be a very happy camper.
So, Bird.
Yes, sir.
What did y'all talk about from 7 to 8 tonight?
We did about 40 minutes of soul searching about Alabama basketball while you were at the game. And we talked a little bit.
I was just watching it. I wasn't there.
Yeah. We talked about the combine. We talked about the, you know, Cyrus Kwanjo and the fact that it sounds like he's got a fairly bad degenerative knee problem.
Right.
And could that have affected his on-the-field presence this year, which I think it did. Cyrus this year was not the Cyrus of last year.
It affected his first round.
Well, you know, Cyrus is friends with my sister's roommate, and that was definitely an issue. Big time.
So it is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or was an issue. We talked about Hubbard, and we talked about attitude, and we talked about, you know, this was our football homage, and could there possibly have been a rift because of the the elevated self-worth of a five-star kid coming into this program.
Guys, I came on BAM's chats in August.
Yes.
No, September. And said, we got some major issues, ego problems on the team.
You're right.
Trust me, I've heard it firsthand. We got major ego problems. And sure, and I don't think it's from the young boys. I think it was from the starters. I think some of the best guys on this team rarely saw the field. I am the biggest Chris Black fan you will ever meet.
Oh, that you've got two others
so
here.
Driven.
Carrie and
so
I both
driven,
are, too.
And nothing gets him down. And he's so positive, and he's always trying to bring other people up. And he doesn't feel entitled. He doesn't feel jaded because he's not starting. It makes him work that much harder. And I love that. That's awesome. I hope he has the biggest breakout year this year because he has worked so hard. He deserves it.
Well, he's come a long way maturity-wise. I know you said he doesn't let things get him down, but after the Virginia Tech game, him and Derrick Henry both called Jeremy Pruitt at Florida State to inquire about transfer. Chris Black and Derrick Henry. That's a fact. But he sucked it up and he stuck it out and he began to get some playing time and he had a couple of breakout performances. And all of a sudden now everybody's saying, like you just did, this is his breakout year coming up. And I think Chris Black will be right up there with Amari Cooper as far as our threats this year.
Or better.
Well, maybe.
Or better. I think he's faster than
he's
Amari.
He's probably faster, yeah.
I think he's faster than Amari.
And then Henry came on in the bowl game, so we know he's good to go. So those two guys have come a million miles in 6 months from calling Jeremy Pruitt after the Virginia Tech game to being counted on to be stars of Alabama.
Well, that was his recruiter, and he and Derrick Henry are very close friends, being from the same area and whatnot.
Right.
So, you know, I was over at the
213
in Tuscaloosa one Saturday, and TJ and Chris were both over there, and they stayed on the phone with their high school coaches forever. It's weird how you build those connections and keep them up.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. But anyway, Chris will be a breakout player this year. Derek, we know, will be. Matter of fact, one of my measures for if we have a better team will be if Derek beats out TJ, and I'm hoping that he does.
Well, TJ's got to run north-south instead of east-west. Simple as that.
Agreed. Fourth and one.
And I like TJ. I think he's a talented player. But I didn't see the TJ this year that I saw last year, number one.
He didn't hit the holes as hard.
He didn't hit the holes nearly as hard. And
when there were holes, that is.
Yeah, when there were holes. And the other – well, he wasn't putting his head down and just digging through.
And I'll tell you something else, and Drew will back me up on this if he's able to call in. We'll also know we have a better team if Grant Hill beats out Ari Quanjo at left guard.
I would just about guarantee that.
Well, I'm not guaranteeing it, but I'm just saying it's very possible.
I would put money on the fact that I think
Ari is a great kid, but he did not have a great year.
I don't think he has the talent. I think he is of a I'm trying to think of a school.
You're a better team if he's your second team left guard.
Yeah, he's a Vanderbilt talent. That's at Alabama.
Vanderbilt won their bowl game.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
so,
hey, guys,
go ahead.
We've gone 2 hours and 40 minutes and haven't talked at all about this year's football team. So,
no, we've actually...
I was wondering if you guys had addressed AJ's comments.
That's one of the things I was going to bring up, Heather, that, you know, and this is me, okay, and this is just the 20-mile perspective sitting from Bluff Park, Alabama. How much of AJ's chutzpah rubbed the team wrong and became an issue for the team instead of being
great
leadership?
Question.
Was it was not deemed as leadership. It was deemed, you're an asshole and I ain't going to play for you.
Okay, I should know this, but I don't. Answer me this question. Was he ever a team captain? He wasn't, was he?
I don't think so.
Team captain.
Be a what?
A team captain, where they, you know, at the first of the year when they do the team captains and they put their
They don't announce them until the end of the year at the banquet.
But
and
I mean,
the people that are putting their prints at Dean Chimes on A-Day?
Yes.
He was.
He
him,
did.
Him and CJ and I think
don't think he was a team
joke.
Captain.
Well, they announced
him
at the banquet, I thought he was.
You know, we'll have to look
that
up.
I
don't
think
he
was. I think I just read this.
I thought it was A-J, CJ, and Anthony Steen.
Maybe one of
I
the listeners.
CJ and Anthony were. But
those
yeah,
that are out there?
Good. Yeah.
When they announced it at the banquet right after the Auburn game, I thought that AJ was one of them, and that's the three that go to A-Day and do the thing.
I'm
99% sure.
King of Twitter and RTR still in the chat room. Guys, do you know who the team captains were this year, KOT and RTR? So I'm going to let those guys come back and maybe help us here.
This is where we need Dawn. She's our researcher.
Well, it's because Rock is – out partying and doing Mardi Gras stuff. You know,
nice,
what
I don't blame him.
His girlfriend was there, you know, making him look up like
that's a news item as it is. That's a big news item right there.
Oh, I'm proud for my boy.
Rock and Amy Elise.
But no, back right. to AJ, do you guys feel like he's getting really bad advice?
I thought it was – okay, RTR says it was McCarron, Mosley, and Norwood.
Oh, Norwood.
Okay, so I was
okay.
wrong.
I thought it was Steen.
Yeah, and King of Twitter
says
CJ was one. So I
was
one. So I think
I
we're
CJ.
On
– So AJ was, is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions about this year's football team?
Well, there's nobody left. In, we've killed our chat room, everybody except for King of Twitter and RTR.
They're bad because Drew didn't come on.
Yeah.
He'll be back next week.
No, they don't like baseball.
I think his phone's dead.
Yeah.
Well, you guys spent like 2 hours talking about basketball.
Well,
that'll run anybody out of a chat room.
No, we didn't. We spent 40 minutes talking about basketball until you came on, and then we talked more basketball.
Terry, you know those Fairweather fans.
Ah, there you go.
Well, I was there Saturday, and there were about 5,000 of them there, and you know, the other 5,000 didn't show up that had paid for tickets. So
I've got the paid for tickets. I've got the tickets.
So that's what the guy was talking about.
In the
5,000 sold.
Guys, my cousin Jason took his children and wife to the baseball game Saturday, and last minute they decided to go buy some tickets. And he's like, "We're still in those bleed seats, Heather." So text Brian. He's like, "Tell him to move down." So told them where to move down, and those kids had the time of their life Saturday, And it just made me feel so good about our program and the memories these families are making. And I know that sounds cheesy, but
it's not. It's not at all, because I've got a 7-year-old grandson, and I think I told you over the phone, who is eat up with baseball. And he prays every night, Carrie. And this is cute. He says what he's got two different kinds of prayers, Carrie. He's got his open eyes prayer and his closed eyes prayer. His open eyes prayer is when his mom is in there, and that's when he does the "Now I lay me down to sleep." And then when his mama leaves, that's when he says, "I do my closed eye prayer." And he said that's the one where I ask God to let me play for Vestavia High School, for the Alabama Crimson Tide, and the Atlanta Braves. I mean, he is hard.
Pretty good choices there for baseball.
Hardcore baseball fan.
Yeah,
so
really pretty good choices.
Going to be fun.
But no, and I mean, even with the basketball.
I'm glad he didn't listen to Bop Bop about the Yankees, so good for him on that.
he respects my Yankees. That's all I can say.
You don't want to play for them, though.
You know, if they write
but
him a $200 million check, he might. Yeah.
But even with basketball, those kids have a great memory from Saturday night, and that was when we
good.
Found,
that's good.
Like, shame on you, Bama fans.
There were a lot of kids enjoying themselves at the two softball games I attended before I went to the basketball game. So.
Here's a question from the chat room, ladies and gents.
Yay.
First, I will reaffirm that the graduating seniors, C.J. Mosley, A.J. McCarron, and Kevin Norwood, were selected by the vote of the teammates. Okay, so we got that put to bed. The second question from RTR1 was, do we stick with a 3-4 defense in base?
Yes, we do. The Jack walks up to the line of scrimmage on a lot of plays and makes it a 4-3, but he doesn't always. But the 3-4 is going to be the base as long as Saban's there.
And there's your answer.
No, it is, I promise you.
Well, no.
Carrie,
like I said, when the Jack walks up to the line, it becomes a 4-3, but he doesn't walk up to the line every play.
No, it's part of the – and that brings us to the 10-second rule.
Which is what I was going to segment to, because
I won't just go away. Can we just talk about Alabama football?
Well, we are.
No, I'm just saying,
really.
Why are so many people thinking that Saban is horrified of it? This has been so much – BS press.
Because he made a special trip to Indiana to testify against it, even though he's not on the committee.
Because he's the name that's going to get the headlines, and he's going to get the clicks.
Bielema took the headlines away when he made that crack about the Cal kid dying, which was very out of place.
Yes, it was.
That is not evidence against
it. Here's another one.
A bigger train wreck than he and his wife in the SEC in a while.
You know what you do, by the way, to fix that, is you do it like the NFL. Let the ref hold the ball until play starts.
Yeah, I put that on the ref.
It's on the ref.
Why does the ref have to just kowtow to these people?
This is stupid.
Stand there and let everybody substitute, then put the ball in play.
Yeah, when the ref looks up.
The SEC ref's got the same amount of power the NFL ref does.
Absolutely.
NFL refs don't play that crap.
All he got to do is when he blows the whistle and points at the ball, that's when everybody gets down in their stance. Easy as that.
So, 3 out of the last 5 national championships we've won, 10-2 last season. Why are so many people saying, oh, they brought in Lane Kiffin, we're going to change the offense?
We are going to change the offense.
The hurry up, no huddle. I don't think we're going to change it that much.
Yeah, we are.
I don't think we're going to the hurry up. I think we're going to throw more to the tight end than we have been. Not plays, not new plays, but running plays we didn't run enough last year.
Yes.
No, O.J. Howard should have had more than 14 catches.
Yes. And
okay, I'm all over that.
And the fullback.
I bet you O.J. Howard has 35 catches this year.
And the fullback will have more touches, and you'll see the fullback or the H-back more involved in the offense.
But he's not adding plays. He's running plays we haven't run. Saban is going to hand him a playbook and say, you adapt it to what you want to do, but here's the plays.
Here's the plays.
Now,
exactly,
let me tell you
but
this.
We're not changing up our entire philosophy.
No.
If it's 4th-and-1 against Auburn, we're not going to have one back in the backfield and give it to the guy that dances through the hole. We're going to have a fullback leading Derrick Henry through the hole.
Or we're going to do a quarterback sneak, for heaven's sakes.
With Coker we could, yeah.
God in heaven. Give it to the quarterback and let him fall forward.
You know who was good at quarterback sneaks is John Parker.
So
He would get that yard every time, man. He knew how to do it.
By the way, chat room again.
Okay, Kerry.
One more. Wait a minute. Chat room first. One more. Who will be the starting cornerback or the starting cornerbacks versus West Virginia, Kerry?
Versus West Virginia?
Yeah.
I'm going to say I know it is, but I'm going to man up and say Eddie Jackson and Tony Brown.
You really think so?
Yeah, because Tony's here all spring.
Eddie Jackson needs to be in there. I don't know who he killed.
Oh, he decided not to show up for one of his midterms. That puts you
Can we please forgive him a little quicker next time?
Well, he started the bowl game. Yeah, a little quicker, yeah. Yeah, well, I'd like to think Eddie Jackson would have stayed on Coates in the Auburn game, but I don't know that.
Yeah, King of Twitter wants to know, will Coker start versus West Virginia? And
I say yes.
I say yes as well. I don't think there's any question about that.
And Bam's Radio,
what's the
first
thing? I think you're
going to
take a chance on that kind of possibility of division in the locker room by transferring a quarterback like Coker in.
I think he's pretty much guaranteed
to start.
You know what? I think he will earn his way onto the team, Heather. I don't think it's going to be any question after they get into – drills and start wearing shirts against each other, that the cream rises to the top, like Grandma always used to say. I think your boy Coker is going to be rising to the top. Now, here's the thing that's going to be interesting, and I know you guys have both been keeping up with the scuttlebutt around Jameis, but, you know,
you would pronounce Jameis Jameis.
Because that's the way his grandma says it.
Jameis.
Jameis.
His mother says Jameis. I don't know his grandma.
Oh,
but his mom that named him says Jameis.
Okay, Jameis. Well,
Reminds me of Dunaway when he was in 10th grade calling him Jameis on the radio.
Jameis, I saw that.
Jameis Winston in Hueytown.
I saw Jameis.
Or Jameis.
It's Jameis. He, you know, she's brought out two high-caliber attorneys, even though that they got slapped on the hand that this is not over with him and his legal problems.
Good for her.
Listen, here's what's wild. I agree with you. I read the transcripts and said, how in the world could that have happened? Well, it's not done. And the second thing is, his backup just transferred to Alabama. Whoa!
I got news for you. If that were to happen to Ashley, you wouldn't hear me shut up. I would be calling in every radio station. I would be writing every newspaper.
Took out one of them Clanton hits on him already. He'd be too.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I would have bought me a case of Natty Light and drove up to Coleman and found me a hit man by now.
he'd be fertilizer for the peach trees.
Exactly. Yeah. So all these people that say, oh, she's just trying to get attention and money. No.
No, there was
no.
There was no justice.
Go through what she's gone through.
No, there was no justice on that, for sure.
No, there wasn't.
And second question is, who wins the battle for backup on the team? Do we continue on the direction we have, or all of a sudden do you see one of the other kids that these 4- and 5-star kids that have transferred in? Do they win the backup job?
Well,
I clearly don't know because I got Del Rio.
I think the backup for most of the time will be
Sims.
Blake Sims. But I think that a guy that you need to keep an eye on as far as pushing for playing time is Cooper Bateman.
Really?
That guy's come a million miles.
That's what I've heard too, Heather, that Bateman
In August he was more of a runner that couldn't hit the broadside of the barn.
Yep.
But by the time Kiffin got there to observe practices in December before the bowl game, Bateman had become like a completely different player that was making his passes in practice, and he's already tall. He's probably a 4.55 in the 40. Watch out for Bateman. I don't think he's going to start, but I think he's going to get some time this year.
That's interesting.
So I think that if they had to win a game, it'd be Bateman. But I think if there's a blowout against Chattanooga or whatever, it's Blake Sims because he's a senior.
He is a senior, and that's an answer to
And here's one thing that I'm hoping happens, and I've heard it might, but I can't prove it yet, and we won't really know until the season starts. Heather and Greg, I've heard that there's a chance that Kiffin may actually put in a Wildcat package where you could see Blake Sims at least once a half. And I'm fine with that.
Me too. You know what? Because
they've always implemented him, though, and he's done a great job.
Well, they talked about it, but they never put Blake in a game that was really on the line, Heather. But I'm saying it's 10-0 Alabama. The ball's at the 50. It's 3rd and 2.
Right.
Kiffin may put Blake in to run
right.
some Wildcat plays
right.
with the threat of a pass, the threat of a run, and the threat of giving it to somebody like Derrick Henry. And I think Kiffin will consider doing that with Blake, whereas Nuss would just never do it when the game's on the line. I think Kiffin might use Blake's athleticism as a senior in ways that we haven't quite seen it yet. That's a theory, but it's fact-based.
I think it's fact-based, and I think what you're going to have, Heather, is that you're going to have the same vanilla ice cream, but Kiffin is going to put hot fudge on it this time and some cherries on it next time. You are absolutely going to see the same basis of an offense, but it's going to be a lot tastier.
I think that's what makes Saban
yeah, baby.
So great. He can look in the mirror and admit to himself.
We put the black guy in. It's
what did I miss? I was talking.
We put the black kid in, and Bird calls it the hot fudge offense. That is so great. Nice work.
I think it's so good that we got that we've got a coach that can look in the mirror and say, you know, we need to.
Well, you've certainly changed your tune. You were so down on Kiffin when he first came. And it would have been – I would have loved when they first hired Kiffin to put you and Miss Bird in the same room, Heather, because it was like you all were stereos of each other. You know, I'd talk to you on Twitter or whatever, and then I'd go back in the bedroom and I'd get the same thing from Miss Bird, and it was like, well, you know, is every woman out there just hate Lane Kiffin's guts? Because it was pretty much standard across the board. The guys are going, hey, yeah, I think he's a genius. And the women are going, I hate his guts. I think he's slimy. He's a snake. It's like, what's the deal
he's
here?
He's got to prove himself to me. I'm trying to be optimistic. He's got to prove himself to me.
I don't think you need to
the
work
main
too
reason
hard.
I got on the board with Lane Kiffin is it was fabulous artillery for Bruce Pearl.
There you go. Okay, now second question out of the chat room. Who are they going to be the starters at linebacker, Kerry? We've got 3 or 4 minutes left.
I think it would be all four of them. All right, well, inside, the two inside linebackers will be Trey DePriest and Reuben Foster.
Yes.
I think one of the outside linebackers, the strong side, will be Dylan Lee.
It's going to be hard to keep Reuben off the field.
Now he knows the playbook, yes.
Yes.
Correct. And I think one of the outside linebackers, the strong side, will be Dylan Lee.
Yep.
The Jack is kind of open right now. There's a lot of guys fighting for it. Duvall started most of the games last year, but he didn't really have a great year. So I am sort of torn on who the Jack is going to be. It wouldn't shock me that the person that plays Jack against West Virginia is not the person that plays against Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm that high on Rashawn Evans.
I think he's coming.
Baby.
Really?
I think he's coming.
That fast?
I think by midseason, Rashawn is Jack. No, I really do. I'm not saying West Virginia.
Guys, I don't know what Trey DePriest did to get in trouble last summer, but his confidence was so down at the beginning of the year. His play elevated as the year went on so much, yep. I thought.
It did. I was one of those people that thought Reuben would beat Trey out by midseason, and I was dead wrong. To Trey's credit, he stepped up and kept
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he but did.
I'll give Trey credit.
This year,
Trey's got to call the plays. So
yep.
Trey's going to have even more of a leadership role with CJ gone.
And I think Dylan Lee is a game changer from an attitudinal standpoint.
You know, Kirby Smart loves Dylan Lee.
I love him, too. I like him just the way he plays. He's hard-nosed. He's
a long way from that bus ride home from Miami.
He is he's like a big version of Vinny Sinceri, you know? I mean, Vinny had the heart, didn't have the body. I think Vinny was tiny. Vinny
no,
was a great
I'm just...
player. But
I'm just thinking
you,
about how bad it hurt losing him, and I don't think people realize it.
I think it hurt.
It hurt him, too.
It hurt him, too.
He's going to have a harsh reality on draft day. It's called, I'm a free agent. I didn't know I was going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, I don't really understand that.
Decision.
I don't understand
Daddy,
that, especially
Daddy
with
got,
his dad being in the industry.
We got 90 seconds, kids.
I heard that, too. So Daddy got involved there, Heather. Daddy got butt hurt because little boy got hurt playing special teams at a point in the game when Daddy thought son should have been out of the game. So Daddy got involved and said, don't come back and get hurt again. Go ahead and get your money. Well, I'm afraid that's going to be free agent money. I'm not saying he won't make a team, But I'm going to be very surprised if
he will be. He'll be lucky to be a Teddy Brushy type of player.
1 minute warning.
If there were any player that ever should have come back next year, it was him.
Agree.
Well, you know what? That's what he did, and there we are. So, well, kids, it's been a fun 3 hours. We are going to rock on out of here. Thanks, everyone, for listening to BAMS tonight. We will be back next Wednesday night. Legend at 7 o'clock, Carrie at 8 o'clock, Drew DeArmond at 9 with recruiting. We apologize for last week. Sometimes you just can't do what the Internet won't let you do. But trust me, maybe by next week we'll have a new basketball coach.
Bye, Heather.
Bye.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
It's been a ball. Roll Tide.